You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Hey, y'all ready for the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour?
You kidding me?
Can't wait.
Welcome to the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, where we give you that sports talk in layman's terms. We can get raw up in here, so if you like sports talk clean, this is probably not the place for you. Alright, let's get to it. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, brought to you by the Black Is Network. We are the Brothers Layman, your co-host Chris
and Jonathan.
It is down to the final two.
Unfortunately, very bittersweet moment, because you know this is it for the NBA. Maybe besides the draft coming up, but that's it. Yeah. Well, I guess, NBA is kind of, I don't know if they stretched it out similar to the NFL, but I'm like, summer leagues are going to be coming up real soon.
Yeah, they will be.
So it's all going to start rolling again. So.
Same. We just had Memorial Day weekend, and now you feel like, all right, it's the top two sports are coming to an end. I mean, we got off-season talk, but I hate when basketball season's over. It's like,
wait a few more months.
August. Yeah. Training camp for the NFL start. So if y'all want to hit us up, discuss any of that good old sports talk, how you feeling about the NBA, NFL, whatever, hit us up via email, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com, on Twitter, @brotherslayman, on the hotline, 323-455-4219.
Yeah, hit us up. Any questions, comments, concerns you guys may have, anything y'all want to know, anything y'all want to dish out to us, let us know, and we will definitely get back at you.
Yep. All right, well, from each of my guests, let me just say real quick that there is somebody else here. Isley is here with us.
What's going on, Isley? Yeah!
And no, I've been doing this before Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
She's not Riley Cooper.
Like, get Riley Cooper.
You know, we're going to get into all that. But our guest here, co-host of the Hoopla Show, Spirit G, what's up?
What's happening, brother?
What up, guys? Thank you for having me on here. I appreciate it.
Of course. Looking
forward to it. Want to give a shout out to my sister real quick. I got to start off, you know, by doing that or else I won't hear the end of it.
Yep.
Just, you know, me miss her. She work duties kept her from joining us here, who I do the Hoopla Show with. But wanted to give a shout out to her.
For sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, no doubt. Got to give a shout out to Storm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to be discussing your team in a little bit, too.
Her man.
Well, her man. And,
her man. Yeah, she can't say her team. She can't say her team.
That's her man. Yeah, I had to get y'all on. Heard the last episode with y'all giving us some grief about not having y'all on our show. I was like, I told Chris, I'm like, we got to get these fools off because they are hinting. Hello? You there? Hello?
I told Chris, I was like, I was just, you know me. No, y'all know me. Y'all know on Hoopla. That's what we do. We just talk a bunch of shit.
But we wanted to get y'all on for the championship anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
Hopefully before the season officially ended.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like Chris was talking about, you know, it's at the end, the last round, and it went by too fast, man. It seemed like it wasn't that long ago that we were just talking about the start of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, here it is over already.
Yeah. So let's jump into it.
Right on.
Of course, we're going to start in the East.
All right.
Totally, you know, we both picked Atlanta, and we were clearly wrong on that.
I mean, sweep was clearly not expected. I know there's a lot of Atlanta haters out there who are going to be like, see, I told y'all they didn't have a star. I knew they wasn't going to do shit, but I'm like, look. And I think Snotty Drippin was talking about him, and I replied to him, and I'm like, Atlanta has to be given some credit for the way they fought this year, because not one person thought they were going to even make the playoffs, let alone be the number one seed in the East. So I'm like, you have to give them some credit. They got to the Eastern Conference Finals. That is not a terrible season. So I mean, for a team that wasn't expected to do anything, this should be looked at as a positive season, not as a negative. So for the people who want to hate on them, I'm like, look, they don't have a star, but they have proven that, I mean, that you can get far without one.
Yeah, I think they needed to have – they needed to be hitting on all cylinders in order to – for me, in order to really get to the finals and actually win it. And when Millsap got hurt that couple weeks before the end of the season, regular season, and it seemed like it wasn't a big deal, but then he didn't come back real quick, I was like, oh, shit. And then all of a sudden – Cephalosha, you know,
and nobody really talked about it, but I'm like, he was needed for that series.
That's for LeBron.
Yeah. That is the whole reason they brought him there, was to be that lockdown defender for the win.
Or at least have somebody else. Now we got, it's not all on
DeMar Carroll, who got hurt game one. And then, once he got hurt and Korver got hurt, that was it. They done. Because they ain't got enough.
Yeah, Horford was banged up. But I got to give it to the
– got to give it to Cleveland.
Best player in the game. I'm saying he's the best player in the game. He's showing it. Yeah, after that Boston series and Love went down and, you know, okay, you got through the easy round. Now you actually going to deal with some shit. Irvin not 100%. He really just was like, all right.
I got to do it again.
And I'm just watching him do it. I'm just like, dude, you the best player in the game for a reason.
And he's finally starting to show it. Because, you know, my criticism of him was that he hadn't always played like the best player in the game, you know, throughout the entire playoffs. And Atlanta needed the playoffs to start in January. They needed like January 1st playoffs when they were really peaking. Right. But let's talk about can we talk about Al Horford and his pile drive to Dellavedova?
Okay. Let's just start. Do you think with everything that has happened involving Dellavedova, going back to Chicago with Taj Gibson and him giving him the leg lock and all that, do you think Dellavedova is a dirty player, or do you just think, you know, he just like a little irritant?
Well, we talked about that actually yesterday on Hoopla, and my thing was this. Okay, Storm didn't think that he's a dirty player, but of course he plays for Cleveland, so I can't really take anything that she says to heart. But my thing was this, and this was my question: how many different plays involving you have to happen before we consider you to be a dirty player? Then how many plays did we not see, or did they not show over and over and over again when it came to him, being a dirty player? So, I mean, I'm not going to say that he's a dirty player, but I'm going to say he's been playing dirty. And why not? I mean, you know who he was. You didn't really, who was really checking for him before the beginning of the playoff?
True.
Right. Kyrie Irving went down. He got his shot. He has nothing to lose.
Yeah, he played somewhat during the season. You kind of were like, all right, he's
whatever.
Yeah, but he wasn't earning the
clout.
Yeah, he was part of the reason where you were like, well, we got to go upgrade at our wing position.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think he plays extra hard. The leg lock thing, that's totally the ref's fault because they watched it, which is what I hate. I'm like, you went back, watched it for like 5 minutes. You didn't see him leg lock him?
Right.
Like, why does he have to get kicked out? I'm like, you have a reason why he didn't just get up and just stomp him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, this ain't Ndamukong Suh. Like, I'm getting up. Oh, on your knee, nigga. He was just like, look, you see him pull his leg and it's caught. And he's just like, get off me.
Oh, yeah, get off of
you
me.
You want to give him a flagrant one for that?
Fine.
But they was just quick to kick dudes out. Same with the Horford. Like, and he's kind of grabbing Dellavedova too on the way back. So it wasn't all him. You don't need to do that. Why are you kicking him out? Like, that has to feel like that. That's just so damn sensitive. Like, I get being protected with heads and stuff. So I understand wanting them to be cautious. Shit like, Steph Curry falling when you in midair and not trying to just hit a guy in midair. I get that. You know, wanting to be a little overcautious for that. But, like, you don't have to kick a guy out the game in the playoffs. Be like, look, mm-hmm. flagrant one, you do anything else again, you gone. And I'm fine with that. But I'm like, oh, you kicked him out. I'm like, okay, great. They balling. Mm-hmm. You know, he, granted, he took out Kyle Korver the game before. And he just dives that way. I don't think he does it intentionally. But he goes for the ball and is not that guy like, all right, I'm going to go and I'm going head first, reaching for the ball. He's like, I'm sliding, throwing my body toward the ball to get make sure I get it. And I'm knocking you out the way. If you happen to be standing up, well, that's just your problem. Because I'm going diving for the ball and I'm leaning in shoulder, body, and you just happen to slide and, you know, you rolling, get on dude's legs and –
And I will stay. I'm gonna steal a line from Stephen A. Smith. He's reckless. I mean, if you look at all the plays, and even Al Horford pointed out that there's, you know, he wouldn't call him a dirty player, but he said there is like there's a brotherhood between mm-hmm. the NBA players, and there's kind of an unwritten rule: you don't go for the lower extremities, you don't go for cat's knees and ankles and all that shit. And if you look at all the plays, he leg locks Taj Gibson's ankle, basically.
Yeah.
Kyle Korver takes out his knee or his and basically fucks his ankle up. You see the Al Horford play. He backs into his knees. I mean, he constantly is going at the legs of all these dudes. And it's like you made the point. He's not getting punished for any of this. It always seems like it's the guy caught afterwards who's getting punished. And I'm like, none of y'all can see on the film that he's starting these confrontations.
And you know what they didn't see that nobody talks about with them playing? Like, why did you give him a tech when the foul with Al Horford? Al Horford gets kicked out.
I think
Dellavedova gets it. I'm like, well, if you gave him a technical for doing something, why is he getting kicked out the game? Like, clearly
he instigated the right. situation.
So you don't want to do a double technical. You want to give him a flagrant one. Yeah, because he was just like, oh, people's elbow.
Yep. then he put his hands up. Did you see that shit?
I didn't do nothing.
And I feel like that's one of the things where you could probably just get away with if you just like, oh, I fell, and you just kind of like, and then just kind of roll over like I'm getting up. And then if he goes and tries to push you, you can be like, hey, I'm getting up. But when you see guys when they slap and I didn't do anything. You're like, yeah, you did.
Yeah, normally when they slap, yeah, but this dude dropped the elbow. Yeah, it's like, dude, we clearly saw you. Yeah. Right. Like, did you think?
I didn't do a thing.
Yeah, maybe they weren't going to rewind far enough back to see it.
So that just – they needed stuff. You know, none of the guys was playing real dominant. DeMar Carroll was very impressive. Was basically their best person this playoff.
Wow, injured.
And then he got hurt and like – that's one of the things. As soon as I saw him get hurt, it was just like, whoever you have some paper, like, well, book him.
Yep. Because LeBron's the one guy who could actually hold LeBron somewhat.
Like, you already least, down. Yeah. You need like, DeMar- like, clearly at this point, DeMarco has been our best player. We need him, and we need him to go
I
out
mean,
LeBron.
He toughed it out, like, but clearly he wasn't the same.
No.
And then Korver got hurt, and you're like, so the one guy who they constantly, and if you watch the games where Korver played, he always had somebody on him when Cleveland mm-hmm. was playing them. They attached somebody like Velcro to that fool. It was like, wherever you going, I'm going. And then once he went down, that just made it so much easier for Cleveland.
But the fact is, you know, you lost both games at home. Yeah. Blew home court advantage. No Irving game two. LeBron goes for 30. Mm. You know, at game one, J.R. Smith, who we know he can do that. I think he's done it before.
Mm-hmm.
Put up like 8, 7, 8 threes in the playoff game. And the memes was hilarious with them going. I just think in New York, he was asked to kind of be like the second scorer, per se. Same thing when he was in Denver. Like, the team was like, we need you to put up points and be that dude. Cleveland, they're just like, just
shoot.
Just do.
You just
were,
do you.
You know, we don't, we just need you to do your role instead of being like, we need you to be like, the third score. They just like, no, you just come in, shoot threes.
Yeah.
That's your role.
Pretty much.
Like, we don't need you to, we got scores. We don't need you to score. We just need you to contribute. And I think he was like, all right. And this is, you know, this playoff series shows, I'll admit, LeBron's strength as a leader. Cause I'm like, these dudes went down. I'm like, Kyrie Irving going down. You're like, oh, Nope.
Yep.
You ain't winning. You're already missing Love, which, you know, the way Tristan Thompson playing, they would have got by like that anyway. But it's just not having him. And you're just like, all right, I'm just going to make all these dudes around me better.
Yeah.
And it's the reason why guys want to play with him. He is very – he's the next biggest superstar the league has had. This is just my opinion to me since Jordan. And that kind of like I'm taking the game and elevating it like that. You know, I think Kobe's – hey, Kobe got one MVP. This dude got four. I mean, and that – counts for something in the league that promotes individuality, that markets its players. And this dude is the best player in the game. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, what, game three, 38, 18, 13. And they wrote on this first time these numbers, you know, how they, I don't know how they worded it. This is the first time ever with somebody put up these numbers. You're like, all right, what does that mean?
That's what they said?
Yeah, that's, when that's first, basically the first time what they said.
That put up these numbers.
Like, they put up these type of numbers. It was kind of like, you know, what?
Yeah, because I was like,
they making up stuff now, huh? But that,
somebody misplaced the paper with all the info on it. And they were just like, yeah, this is the first
there
time.
There was something special
these,
about this.
Exactly. There's something good about these numbers. We'll get back to you.
Yeah, because I'm like, has somebody put up, I would say, if you know what I'm looking at, if has somebody put up a 35, 15, 10 assist game and just say, nobody or some, but that was
I guess
that was real weird
in a playoff in a Eastern Conference final series.
I think
I don't know.
No, it's supposed to say like in the playoffs. Nobody's put up.
Oh, in the entire playoffs,
nobody's ever put up 38 points, 18 rebounds, 13 assists.
Wow. I mean, I believe it.
Like you can have somebody who's probably had 40, 12, and 9 assists.
So nobody's had exactly 38.
But nobody, I guess nobody. 18. That's what I was like, what's the minimum? Like, is it, I'm saying 35 points, 15 rebounds, 10 assists. Who's done that? Nobody but LeBron. Okay.
Yeah, they need to do some more research before they make
they
that statement.
They're just throwing crap out
right,
there.
Right, right.
Yeah. And with game four, I mean, game three was the game.
Yeah.
And the MVP, and
that's
when
the
game
that's
took
the one
over.
That went in overtime?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was it. So coming out game four, you know, you played your real great game without Korver, and you didn't get the win.
Yep.
And you're just like, so I'm not shocked that they got blown out on that. I'm just like, they threw it. Like, it reminded me of New Orleans when they had that 20-point lead going in the fourth quarter to Golden State, and they blew it. I'm like, no, that's it.
Yep.
I was like, you fought. And you couldn't get it. So
same
now you're just like.
Same thing with the Clippers losing that lead to Houston. But they were never the same after that.
Nope.
No. Couldn't they
it's something about blowing a
those
major opportunity.
Leads, yep.
Yeah, that just is deflating for the rest of the playoffs. Yeah. No team. See, we're about to start our own stats right now. No team this year in the playoffs has come back to win a series after blowing a big lead.
Right, it just hurt. It just reminded me of that. Spurs game when they blew game six and they still were like right there to win game seven still, but just like.
And I just want to give a shout out before we move on to Jerome Williams, the Junkyard Dog. I don't know if y'all remember him.
I remember him.
Before the series started, I gave a shout out to him because DeMar Carroll called himself the Junkyard Dog, and I'm like, what? More of y'all just keep stealing nicknames, huh? So I was like, I know DeMar Carroll calls himself the Junkyard Dog, but don't forget about Junkyard Dog JW, the original. And then he tweeted back, that's like someone saying they're Magic or Iceman or Worm or Air. Mm-hmm. These cats these days need to learn. Hashtag Dog Pound.
They
was like, thank
it.
You, brother.
Because
I'm like, hey, these young cats need to learn. It, no, you ain't original. Come on now. Superman. Come on, Dwight, get your own stuff, man. I'm like, what's wrong with these cats?
So what do y'all, before we move on to the other season, what do you guys think of Atlanta overall this season and what they have to deal with? Because I know they got Paul Millsap, DeMar Carroll, both free agents. You got new ownership basically starting over. Heard that, like, now what do they do with Danny Ferry and all that. But give me you guys' thoughts of Atlanta at this point.
I like Atlanta. I think they were underestimated going into the season. I mean, I underestimated Atlanta going into the season, but – when you really look at their team and say they don't have any stars per se, I'm like, you know, they have Al Horford who's been an all-star for several years. So I'm like, you do have stars. They don't have a quote unquote superstar or if you want to call it a go-to wing player who they can just go to in crunch time who can do, you know, whatever. He can just score whenever he wants to.
It wasn't four of their players all-star today? I mean, yeah, this year?
They had four all-stars.
They had four all-stars, but Al Horford has been, like, that dude.
The star
for that team for a while.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't say they don't have anybody.
But he's been hurt. That's probably been
his problem.
And for me, that's the thing that needs to happen. They just need to get healthy. I think they're good as they are right now. I mean, obviously, they had a hell of a year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to say because they lost, you know, given all these injuries they've gone through, to be, you know, reactionary and say, oh, it's time to rebuild or anything, I don't think that's necessary. I think you've also got some playoff experience.
Yeah.
Jeff Teague, man, I don't know what happened to him in the playoff. He wasn't playing like he was in the season.
Yeah, I don't know. And that really shocked me because he is one of their go-to guys. Mm-hmm. The way this team is built now, Horford's got to play a lot better. He has to play like he is that guy.
I will say this.
I like Millsap, though. They had a great start, but it feels like either in this East, you can probably win and give it another shot. But it's one of the things where you're like, all right, you know, like a business, next season, the cap's moving up. We have another great season because Budenholzer done a great job. He has a great system. So now it's Atlanta starting to pop back up. And they just have to hope, do we not go full, like, all in this yet? Because maybe next season, you know, the cap go up. You know, and we've basically put Atlanta basketball in this year. Because even with Dominique team, I don't think they made it to the finals before. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have a team in Atlanta that's popping, I mean, that whole argument of people living in places they like, I can go play in Atlanta.
Atlanta's a great city to live.
Folk love living in it. Black people like living in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I can be there on a team that's winning. Because you can't tell me if Miami's blowing up. Because Miami wasn't this is one of them places people want to go. Like, no, it wasn't. It wasn't like that. I don't remember it being like that when Zoe was there. It was like, come play for Miami, man. The weather's popping. I'm like, I'm going to Los Angeles. You know, but all of a sudden, once Wade went there, but especially once LeBron got there, it was like, oh, this is a destination, South Beach. You know, and
now it's Cleveland.
Yeah, now it was a hub.
You know. Cleveland's the place to be now.
They put it on that, you know, with basically L.A. and New York, that people who don't want to live in Miami. Like, okay, you know, but you can say a lot of people will live in Atlanta. So if they play their cards right, and as long as they keep winning and stay one of the top few teams, I think they can land a superstar.
Now, if they
handle it right, you got new ownership in them. If they mix it right, kind of give Grant Hill a little, you know, position like Magic had, where you can kind of be the face a little bit. You know, because, I mean, we heard the complaints earlier this year about them having all these black fans. I'm like, well, give them somebody who's an owner, who's black, who they can relate to. You know,
you think they need a superstar, though?
No.
I think for longevity. I do think this is one of those, that team. I think they have a nice window. But I don't think this is like 5 years from now, we still going to be competing. I think they need a guy who's a perennial all-star. Like, not like what the season was good. Like, okay, my season isn't going so well, but this dude is clearly an all-star player.
Question. So I have always viewed Al Horford as a four, not a five.
Yes.
Should they, and I'm just throwing this out there just for the hell of it, should they move on from Paul Millsap, since technically I look at him as a four. Should they go after Mark Gasol so that they can move Al Horford to the four? Because Marc Gasol would come to the East. He'd probably be the most dominant big on the East, bar none, once he steps foot on there. You were able to slide Al Horford to the four. Al Horford can step out and hit the perimeter shots. I'm just saying.
To be honest with you,
Mike Budenholzer was, I guess, you know, learned from Popovich. Popovich had two bigs.
I will say this. If there is a chance that they can actually get Paul Gasol. Marc Gasol. Yes. If I'm Atlanta, yes, I'm taking that chance. That would be, you know, I like Paul Millsap. Paul Millsap can come to the Spurs right now. He's one of them, you know, if the Spurs are looking, I'm like, I would get him. Like, but, you know, would I want him or Marcus,
I just don't like. I don't like him at the three.
Nah, he's
a four.
Yeah. Their big man system works. Mm-hmm. So I mean, if they bring him back, him and Horford together is good.
Yeah.
Horford's gotta take it up to the next level for me. To me, I think Horford and Teague are right now they cornerstone guys, and you just go from there.
Okay.
And so we're going to get into the West now.
Which means we have to talk about Riley Curry.
Oh, you know, we'll get on her. We'll get on her.
She's but, the freaking star. Good Lord.
This series, you know.
Another disappointing fucking series, man. I mean, After game two, I was through with their asses, man. When they ain't used that timeout, I was done. I was like, what the?
Yeah, so, you know, game one.
I had to hold back from throwing something at the TV. It was terrible.
Look, they had a.
Stupid.
Because game one, Warriors were down 16. They went small, playing Green at the center, and they won.
Lost a big lead. There it is.
Yep.
Game one, you lost the big lead. Yeah, that's a sign.
We're going to get to some of these major ones. Game two, Harden has that. I fumbled the ball off. No timeout. We'll get into that. Game three. Curry goes for 40, blowout at home. After, you know, because after two games, you were like, they were close. They should go in. Like, okay, now we back at home. Mm-hmm. Let's get this W. They came out like they were expecting to win. And Golden State was like, came in like, let's steal this game. Yep. Let's steal this one.
Yep.
So, game four, Harden goes off of 45.
Mm-hmm.
Career playoff high, six mm-hmm. Rockets in double figures. Probably, you know, they 3-point was hitting that game. Maybe mm-hmm. that was one of those lightning in the bottle.
That is what that was.
Yeah. And then game four, Warriors pull out the victory. Harden with a now NBA playoff record.
My God, turnovers. Man. What the hell was that about? I couldn't do that in a video game if I tried.
Seriously.
How the hell do you have 13 turnovers? I could not believe this dude had a triple-double with turnovers. What the hell?
It was unbelievable.
How?
It was unbelievable. I mean, it seemed like every time he's dribbling down the court, just like, oh, I lost the ball.
Yeah,
like,
my bad.
But,
yeah. After the famous end of the game turnover in game two.
You ain't learned.
Right. He's like, no, that was just the beginning. I'll show you how to lose a ball.
It was unbelievable.
He was, I don't know if he was pressing.
I think that's what it was.
Because he looked like he wasn't, it wasn't just natural. And I've heard the Lord. Yeah, I've heard all of that talk from some folk about him being, you know, just a scorer, and that's all he does. I'm like, this dude basically runs their team. I was
like, he gets like 27 and 27, 7 and 7. I'm like,
wait. So when LeBron was putting up them numbers, he's a passer. But I was like, James Harden's doing that for his team, and now, he's just a scorer. Like,
that doesn't make any sense. I don't know.
He just was.
Both
teams weren't for that early part. It was nasty, but he could never get on track. And I thought, like,
maybe he was out of gas. He carried that team the whole season,
especially since this was right after the 45-point game.
Yeah. He was just exhausted.
Or maybe he was trying, like you said,
and
trying
just
to
felt
hard.
Like it's, we're facing elimination. I got to carry
it's
the
on
team.
Him, yeah.
I got to carry the team.
Because he didn't shoot very well either.
He had a horrible game.
Yeah, it was a bad game. I couldn't, but the turnovers though, I could not get over that.
Like that one, he threw it. He has, I think, Terrence Jones right at the top of the mm-hmm. key, and he tried to throw it told the other side. You're like, dude, I'm looking at the play. I'm sitting here like, you looking like this about to be a turnover.
Right there it was.
He's like, what the? And there were a lot of them turnovers were like. What are you doing? Like, dude.
They were boneheaded. Mm-hmm.
As soon as you threw it out your hand, something mm-hmm. in my head was like,
turn over.
I could see somebody just jumping this.
Like, what
route.
The hell are you thinking?
Yeah. Right. I'm going to jump the lane. Up there, right. Of course. Like, you didn't see this coming? Like, I saw it coming.
Right. Yeah, I was amazed at that. I couldn't believe that.
Yeah,
I mean, he still had a great season. I mean, not to take anything away from the season.
Not at all.
The fact that he had the entire weight of the world on his shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, come on, man.
He
you can't have 13.
Two of 11.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Two of 11.
Two of 11.
First of all, look at the fact that he only took 11 shots. Yeah. His confidence, something was going on with him.
Because I'm like, you the type of dude, you getting 15 minimum. Like, we need you to at least take 15 shots.
Right. Like, he get 11 in the first quarter.
Jackson Terry took more shots than he did.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man.
Yeah, something was something rattled him. I don't know what it was.
And his plus and minus was only -4. Even with 13 turnovers. So, I mean, he had some type of efficiency.
And, you know, kudos to Golden State. Because I think they were guarding him. They was playing Klay Thompson on him a lot in the first couple games. I think I heard they kind of switched to playing more Harrison Barnes. Mm-hmm. I know game four, he had Iguodala. Because I noticed, I was like, Iguodala's playing a lot of minutes today. And I'm like, oh, he's just like, he guarding this dude. Like, this is what we need you to do today. So this nigga just went off for 45
points, right?
You come in, when you come in, right. What we need you to do is just guard him.
Yep.
Like, today, this is your assignment. That's why you keep a guy like Iguodala on your team.
It goes back to game two, man. After game two, they were done. Okay, they did not call that timeout for no reason. I have no idea. That play... I still rewind that play in my head, and I don't know what the hell anybody was thinking. You get the play, you're zooming down the field, zooming down court. I had no problem with that.
Yeah.
Terrence Jones, he missed him. I mean, Terrence Jones came right down the middle of the paint, was like, ah, dunk, nope, all right, fine. Passed it to Dwight. At that point, I'm like, okay, Dwight, call a timeout, because all of y'all are flustered, and y'all don't know what y'all doing.
Right.
Nope, I'm going to pass it back to James Harden. He's double teamed. Right. Oh, I lost the ball. What the? It was the sloppiest play I've ever seen. And I'm like, y'all couldn't even get a shot up.
Yep.
All that shit, and y'all didn't even get a shot up. And you have a timeout. I blame Kevin McHale for some of that, because I'm like, you as a coach should see your team don't know what the fuck they're doing.
No,
call a time. Timeout. Timeout.
If he's going to be there long term, those are one of the things where you have to be like, I have this guy. To get a win in just that moment, yes. He probably – because if his player wasn't, he should have been like, let me call the timeout. As soon as, you know
– as soon as Dwight got the ball, he should have called time.
I heard, because he was like – it was a 3-on-2. I think somebody had Ariza at the top corner. And her Steph Curry was like, they know he wanted to go left. Because I've heard people asking, how come he didn't go toward the basket on the right? And they were like, well, they know he wants to go left. So Steph was like, I cut that off. At that point – yes, James Harden should have been like, all right, timeout.
We need to work this out.
When he gave it to Dwight, I thought he was going to go, like, hear Dwight and then go to Dwight to get the ball and kind of use him as a screen. As like, you're double team. Let me at least get one of these guys off me. Because when you have a guy like him, you know, LeBron, Kobe, Derrick Rose, Kevin Durant, what's one of them things like, look, I trust you. Make the shot. And you... And in the grand scheme of things, you have to do that.
I don't trust you, but at least let's call up a play for you.
Because he's one of them dudes like, oh, snap, fade away. Oh, this shot is terrible. In.
Yeah.
We cook it, and then nobody is saying, you just like, oh, my God. Yes, it was smart that he didn't call a timeout because they couldn't set they
but did. But he got up a shot.
Yeah,
right.
The fact that they didn't even get a shot up is my problem.
And that's all to me on James Harden, because James Harden got the ball and was like, I'm shooting this. Because, yes, he could have taken a timeout. I think he was like, I'm going to take this shot, make or break.
And that's, again, that's not that's not the issue. You can take the last shot, but call a timeout so we can get you a shot, Negro.
But the question is, if you call a timeout, how guaranteed are you that he's going to get the ball back?
No, there's no guarantee.
We're not looking at it as a guarantee. I'm not looking at it as a guarantee.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, he wasn't thinking, like, let me try to get the best shot. He was thinking, I'm taking the last shot.
Well, then he selfishly cost his team the game.
Well, no. I mean, I don't even have a problem with that. Right. I think that's fine. It was just the fact that, obviously, they said beforehand they didn't want to
call a timeout.
Call a timeout. Yeah. Right. Before the play, because he didn't even look at the bench when he got the rebound.
No, and I figured like,
he
okay.
got it and took off.
Yeah, they must have talked about that in the previous timeout before that. So that was fine. It was fine. I would have rather seen if the score was tied, I would understand that a little bit better. But with you being down by a point, I don't know. I would have taken the timeout then to set up the play. But okay, you have somebody who's really good at setting up their own play. Go down there, and I agree with Jonathan. Once the play started to fall apart, okay, now I need a timeout.
Yes.
Now, and I think Kevin McHale could have called that timeout.
That's what I think he should have, but I think he
– And to make
– He deferred, and it's probably some folk are not going to like about Kevin McHale, because as soon as they lost, it's just like, oh, he back to him not being that great of a coach. And
to rebuttal your comment, though, in regards to James Harden not being guaranteed to get the ball, how many times have we seen last-second shots for the Lakers? Kobe is quadruple team, and he still gets the rock somehow. Don't tell me James Harden can't get the ball.
But that's the same
thing. He can
thing,
get the ball.
And he's going to get the ball and take a terrible shot. Which,
But at least he took a shot.
The thing is, like, when he didn't call a timeout, you can argue, why did he give up the ball then?
Well, he gave up the ball because he was double teamed.
No,
I don't know why he gave the ball up just to Dwight.
But you're saying that if I run a play and I get the ball and I'm already double, triple teamed, what's the difference? No. What's the difference? I'm stuck in a different spot on the floor.
If he's one of those dudes who can turn a terrible shot into a good one,
with 5 seconds left, Kobe's double. Do you think when he doesn't call a timeout, is Kobe giving the ball up? No. Kobe's going to keep dribbling, and he's going to either, like, y'all either come to me or just stay where he was when they double teamed him. They weren't up in his face. It was just like, we cutting off your lanes to drive.
Well, and can we
at that point, yes, he did go with option A, which is call a timeout. So at that point, you hold it. You gave it to Dwight. That's why he gave it to Dwight. Go get the ball. Because Dwight gets the ball back.
At the top of the three-point line.
He doesn't call a timeout. He throws it up. Whose fault is it? He gets the ball up to Dwight. He doesn't get it back. Dwight's forced to take a stupid three and misses it. Who are you blaming the game on?
I'm blaming it on Kevin McHale.
Because if they have a timeout, Dwight Howard shouldn't be shooting no threes.
If Dwight Howard had to have shot that shot, that means he was holding the ball for like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. And let's talk about the fact, why was he on the sideline? Let's talk about that. Why did James Harden go down the sideline instead of in the middle of the court?
No, it's just because he like going left. That he should have, and that's as a superstar player, that's the moments where you watch the game tape and you just like, I got to get better. Yes, he should have called a timeout. Yes, he should have drove in the lane. You know, yes, he has to play smarter when instead of forcing the game. And like in game four, just let the game come to you. Whatever the defense is giving you, you take it. Don't feel like you got to put up 45 again. Just go for about 20 and let Dwight Howard get 20. Let Ariza get 15. That's his next step. I don't like people coming on him like that. Because the way this team is, like, people should also look at, like, he took this team to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
Maybe he should have been the MVP. This is why I think Jonathan and I were like, wow, we had him as an MVP. It's just for this, like, look at the team. Dwight Howard ain't giving you, like, when do you think the next time Dwight Howard's going to have a game where he give you 30?
Oh, those days are behind him.
Thank you.
Yeah. Go ahead, I'll wait.
And what and what took him so long to get down the court? Can we talk about that, too? Mm. He trailed. That's why Harden gave him the ball, because he trailed from the pack. Should have been the one down there. You could have gotten him down low.
Terrence Jones was down there.
Terrence Jones, if he makes that play,
they win.
He's ahead of his man, and all you have to do is just give a nice bounce pass.
And there's a dunk or a layup.
It's a dunk with like 2 seconds left on the clock, and you're just like,
Houston about to win.
Yeah, and then Jason, and then it's all of a sudden this dude. He's a great playmaker. Look, he saw the trailer, and he knew he didn't force a shot. Mm-hmm. You know, well, but that's
– But then, of course, hypothetically, the most unstoppable three-point shooter in the world gets the ball, and is like, oh, I'm going home, and I win.
Yeah.
Where's Riley?
But we won't ever find out because Houston didn't get his shot off.
Exactly. What else with the Rockets? You know, we got to talk about this dude since we mentioned him. Dwight Howard, he's suspended for the first game of next season. After that flagrant with Iguodala, he didn't get a flagrant two on that little, like, he was throwing a bow at Bogut.
Oh, he backslapped him. He was like, bitch.
You know,
oh, I thought that's what he got suspended for. He got suspended for the play with Iguodala?
Because
he threw a punch at it. He, like, basically.
But I don't know. One of them was another. Because he got a flagrant. No, he got suspended because that was his fourth flagrant of the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
And after, I guess, I didn't know that rule either. But after,
yeah, they're just making up stuff.
But I think after he got his fourth flagrant, he would have been suspended. for game six. Mm-hmm. But because there is no game six, it's right. getting tacked on to next season.
Right.
But this dude, let me see if I can find this stat. I saw this and I had to take a picture of it. So I was like, we're going to talk about Dwight Howard.
Oh, you talking about that one that has 75 or something since 2010?
Yeah. It's
what?
For this playoff, he's tied with first for ejections with one. Flagrant fouls, he has four. That's first. He's second in personal fouls with 60, and he has seven technical fouls. This playoff.
Just this playoff?
Yeah, nothing leading the league.
And mind you, he was hurt for.
Yeah, and he said also led the league.
Play every game.
Yeah, also led the league in defensive fouls drawn. And
it was a hack of Howard.
Mm-hmm. This dude, no, it's fouls drawn on him.
Oh.
So not like somebody fouling him, him fouling somebody else. Mm. He showed glimpses of that old Dwight Howard that could just be dominant defensively. That's like he's dominant defensively. He ain't no dominant offensive player.
Hell no.
He the opposite of that. But he had moments, you know, like he didn't. That game against the Clippers, I swear that game six, I was like, this nigga about to get kicked out of the game because he going to bitch up. He was part of that run and was grabbing the boards, you know, just grabbing every rebound. He has to be more than that. He's just too damn sensitive to me on shit. Like,
He's still a superstar. He's the dude, you can't tell him no different.
He's the dude.
He's also a champion.
Yeah, there it is.
He's a champion that you can get in their head.
There it is. He is not a superstar anymore.
He's the guy that, like, when you're a guy like Draymond Green, a Joakim Noah, a veteran, a wily, like, big man who's just like, I'm going to just needle this dude for a while. You know,
because he's going to lose
it. At some point, he's going to lose it. I'm like, because his foul, you're like, why are you fouling somebody extra hard? Why are you throwing the elbow? Like, why is all that necessary? Like, somebody get a little physical with you, and you start throwing up your bowls.
If he was as passionate about his game as he is about crying, about every foul call, he'd be a dominant player still. But the most passion you show can't be arguing with the refs.
Yeah.
Because I don't see that in this game. I don't see the passion. James Harden needed him this year, mm-hmm. particularly in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He needed him, especially in this last series.
Yeah.
Which, let's face it, I mean, Draymond Green's a bomb player, is a good player, but you should be able to dominate Draymond Green. You should be able to dominate Andrew Bogut. Andrew Bogut only showed up for like every three games on average,
right.
You know, to actually play well. You should have been dominating down low while James Harden handled up top, and you could have beat. Yeah, Golden State, with his help.
To be fair, Bogut is one of them dudes who will. He's like, I'm gonna bother the shit out of Howard. Every time he get in the block, I'm just gonna push him off.
Right.
And we go for rebounds because, in a sense, like they need for a game, they need you more than me.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do something stupid,
that's why he got punched. But yeah. That kind of takes to your point, though. As you know, if he was a little bit tougher, he can handle that.
Right.
Shaq could handle that. Because Shaq, I don't think Dwight Howard got as much physical.
Well, nobody
physical as Shaq.
Nobody could move Shaq.
Yeah, there's a reason for the hack of Shaq. It's because of Shaquille O'Neal. Because it's like, I can't do nothing else but foul this dude beforehand.
And you don't want to piss Shaq off. Because Shaq, an elbow from Shaq will knock you out.
Well, remember that time he swung at Brad Miller and he missed? But if he would have connected, Brad Miller would have been dead today.
Howard's not a superstar anymore.
Well, nobody. The Shaq thing, those type of people are rare. He's just like, oh, this dude is like. The next coming to wilt physically.
Dwight Howard is a good big.
Yes.
He is not a superstar.
He is not.
He's not.
At this point, he's not the best center in the league anymore.
No.
Oh,
not even close. Not even close. I can name four or five in front of him.
I don't know if has he ever been the best center? Best? Number
in
one?
In the league?
Yeah.
Answer me this.
Yeah, when he was with Orlando.
Would you rather have.
I'm talking about like when he was like.
When they went to the finals? Yeah, maybe that one good
that,
year.
The time when he was projected to be a top five player.
Mm-hmm.
When he was with, you know, Van Gundy.
When he was a three-time defensive player
When he was getting deep in the playoffs.
Yes. Yeah.
When he was that player, yes.
Now?
No.
Would you rather have, right now, Dwight Howard or Al Horford?
Right now?
Just to prove my point. Would you rather have Dwight Howard or a healthy Al Horford?
If I have a healthy one for both, I'm probably going to take it. I'll take out Horford.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Prove my point. Proven exactly.
Because I know. Because I can. If I look at it,
who's more dependable?
He's not. You know, you got Dwight Howard, who's can affect things better defensively. It's just like.
Let me just look, play good defense.
I was like, let me look at these playoffs and who's the better performer in the playoffs. And I'm like, Al Horford is.
More consistent, and he can shoot free throws.
And that exactly proves my point, because you put in – because then the list – I mean, how many people you put in front of Dwight? Anthony Davis, clearly.
Well, if you're doing
DeMarcus
big man.
DeMarcus Cousins, clearly.
If you're doing big men.
Fine. Centers, DeMarcus Cousins, Mark Gasol.
Yeah.
Al Horford.
Paul Gasol, I'll take him.
I mean, hey.
Like, especially the way he played this
year.
You want
to put Duncan at center, Tim Duncan. I'd rather have Duncan than fucking Duncan.
If I'm picking four or fives, I mean, he down the list. Look, they had a great season, but I think for him, I do believe if James Harden is going to keep rising like he's been, this is one of them offseason where you're just like, all of that shit just eats at you all season. And you're just like, all right, I'm coming back. And he come back and just like, well, however I was playing last season, I'm doing that and some more. Like, that's what you would hope for superstars like that when they get that so close. When you have moments like I choked and people are doubting you and questioning you and, oh, you just this, you just that. You know, we'll speak on this dude later on in the show, you know, saying you can't – your defense went from awful to bad. Mm-hmm. You know, this is – you know, you want to see as a basketball fan, okay – you've hit this point. Now what are you going to give me next season? Dwight, I would like for Dwight to do that, but I think he's at the point where he's past that. Yeah. I'm just like, I have hope that you would look like, yeah, you're saying just leave all that, take that energy and do something else with it instead of just getting frustrated. Because Blake was getting hacked all the damn time and was called soft as hell. And – you know, people can argue that, but I didn't see much of that in the playoffs. He seemed like he was trying to do something. With Dwight Howard, like, somebody bumped you up. I'm sensitive about it now. And
he's a champion.
Come on. Four flagrants? Like, dude, you don't know how to just make hard fouls without getting flagrants?
Let me ask you guys this question that we asked on Hoopla yesterday, because there was I forget his name. The dude who used to do Sports Nation, Colin something or the other.
Colin Cowherd?
Cowherd, yeah. Mm-hmm. He has a radio show, and he interviewed Jared Dudley, which was a hilarious interview. Mm-hmm. But at the end of it, they started talking about the Colin doesn't think that James Harden is a franchise player.
Yeah. He's the one I was mentioning about that said he's only a scorer.
Oh, okay.
When I heard that from him, I was just like, I had to end up like kind of like, okay.
So what do you guys think? Do you think he is
James Harden?
Yeah, I think what it stems from, it started from the beginning, from wherever you are when we're first introduced to you. That's kind of how we see you, even if you move on. And we first saw him as a sixth man.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of times people have trouble letting go of that sixth man mentality.
I mean, people forget the only reason he was the sixth man. It's because you had Durant, Westbrook, and it's like, dude, we don't have enough balls to go around for all these guys. We need some scoring punch off the bench.
Yeah. Although he did end the game.
And a lot of people have hate for him because
I'll have to say this. Was it the finals where he blew it?
Now, I will say this.
He choked. He disappeared.
when the games where that seems to be
the biggest moments
at least especially the ones where the games where his team is knocked out. He's ass.
Yeah.
I mean, it seemed like when you go back and I look at the games and I keep thinking about the games with James Harden and when he doesn't show up, I'm like, I think every game where it's like the fourth game they lose, he's not good. He's nowhere. And I'm like, this is starting to be a trend, because I remember that in the finals. You know, it's like, where did he go? And then same thing when Houston, other games with Houston, when he was with Houston. Last year, just like, why did you were the higher seed in Portland and you lost? You know, like, where
my
is
boy
this?
Damian Lillard went nuts.
It just, you know.
That buzzer beater.
Yep.
I think he can do more, and he showed this season that he can do more. I'm like, I like seeing players show growth. Stop acting like LeBron came in the league, this fool was an all defensive stopper. This fool was trash on D. Trash. And he was getting cussed out for being a terrible defender, like his first 5 years in the league. He was terrible. And I remember people saying how bad he was. And then at some point, he got to where he was the first team all defense. And they were like, oh, he the best defender. He can play all five positions, and he the best defender in the league. And, you know, oh, who's playing? Derrick Rose down the street. LeBron James. I mean, he became that dude.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, we can't act like a guy can't get there.
And part of it is he has to get more help in Houston.
Yeah. He, I mean,
he got to get more help.
Yeah. Yeah. He had this was a great breakout season. And it always seems like guys who play with the Olympic team, somehow they come back, they just blow the hell up. It just seems to be something that just happens. I think he'll keep going. Like, he's young.
Yeah.
You know, like, he left. You know, people have that argument about why did he leave? He could have just stayed and won a championship. Like, who do you know he would have won a championship?
And look at what they did this year. They came within one round of the championship,
right,
with him carrying the team by himself. And I think this year was, I mean, obviously it was his best year as a player. I mean, I don't remember him being in MVP conversation before this year.
Well, he would have been the third wheel anyway had he stayed.
Yeah, but he wouldn't, you know, this is someplace you got to leave and grow because he wants to be the guy.
The guy.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he put himself, we knew he was the best shooting guard in the league. But he's trying to get himself. Yeah, like when you get in the MVP discussion, yeah. I mean,
I didn't know he was going to be this good though when he left OKC. When he went to Houston.
I didn't think he'd be this good.
Yeah, at this point. But Colin was talking about it now. Like, he wasn't talking about it 2 years ago, two or three years ago. So I'm like, I don't know how you can look at him now and not see him as a franchise player.
Yeah, I'm like, he's just, he had a team that you didn't pick them to beat. Golden State, you know, he takes him this far, gets him the second seed, which I did not see.
Yeah, that's big, especially in the West.
Mm-hmm. And if Steph Curry was so like killing, where he was the obvious MVP, you know, why was it a 2-man race all season? Like, dude took his game to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, because I mean, but guy like that, he was crapping on John Wall. I'm like, 3 years into Houston, he didn't bring him a championship. He's trash. Like, let me see what he's going to do. Maybe he won't win his career till like his 10th season. But that doesn't mean for the 9 straight years he's boo-boo because he ain't won a championship.
Right.
Like, if this dude continues to play at this level, gets deep in the playoffs and just can't get it, then I'm not going to be like, oh, well, he suck. I'm just like, well, he may not be better than this person or this person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But let's get to it, man. Now down to the last two, Golden State, Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Golden State in 7.
All right.
You got the Warriors in 7. I just personally, they're deeper than Cleveland. LeBron has to do way too much on his own. And everybody can say what they want about Tristan Thompson. They have their own Tristan Thompson and Draymond Green, who, to me, that's going to be an interesting battle. Because Draymond Green is a very physical player. So Tristan Thompson, granted, might be a little bit taller, but physically, Draymond Green's going to bully him.
That's my key matchup.
He's going to bully him.
Yeah, that's my key matchup for this series, is that four position.
I'm very curious to also see how, because he's been somewhat of a nuisance, going for the lower extremities, we all know Steph Curry has had ankle issues. I'm just putting two and two together. So, Dellavedova need to be careful, because the NBA does not need you to mess up Steph Curry's ankles.
Right.
At that point, they'd be like, oh, he's suspended for the series.
Fire, yeah, he's gone. They kick him out of the league. He can't play anymore. He can't play here anymore. And, you know, there's also that major, are you taking into consideration what's going on with the other light-skinned dude?
I mean, Klay Thompson, I know they seemed like they were trying to cover that shit up. But I know he had concussion.
I think he'll be okay. I think he has be having a week to get ready.
Yeah.
I think he'll be all right.
That's crucial.
At most, I can see him being out game one. I don't think he'll be out first game.
And what I do,
but plus it's Thursday, so if he doesn't play it in, then he'll play it on Sunday. So
plus, Golden State has the capability to throw multiple guys at LeBron. You can throw Iguodala, you can throw Harrison Barnes, you can throw Draymond Green at him if you want to. You can throw Klay Thompson at him. You can throw so many people at LeBron.
I think Green is going to.
Green's going to want to guard.
Green is going to get some time. I think Iguodala is going to get the most time over the series. Which I have Golden State in 6.
I think, his tweet. Yeah, Draymond Green tweeted something about LeBron being gay for something.
Yeah, oh, shit.
I was like, wait, what? It came from Draymond. With
him. You better hope not. Like, no, don't do
don't
this.
Don't wake the sleeping beast, man. we had this conversation yesterday too. My theory and Storm's idea is yours, is the same as yours, is to really lock down LeBron, try to lock down LeBron. My thing is this. If I'm coaching, I'm letting Steph Curry and LeBron James do their thing.
Yeah, you're not going to really stop them. They right. don't get there.
Exactly. I'm focusing on making sure J.R. Smith doesn't get eight wide open three point attempts mm-hmm. on kickouts from LeBron. I'm staying home on the other. I'm going to she feels like they should make the other players beat them. I'm saying I'm letting LeBron, cuz LeBron's not going to win it by himself.
No, I do think you have guys at times, because you have enough guys who can probably defend him one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
I think Iguodala can do that yep. most of the game. I think Draymond Green can do that a little, you know.
Yeah,
that.
I'm not doubling LeBron.
Barnes, yeah, I would mm-hmm. agree with you. I would mm-hmm. only do it every now and then. Yeah, every now
maybe
and
throw
then.
Something new at him.
You know, right. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, no, you're not. Right. We know you're going to get yours.
Exactly.
But we don't want you to be getting yours and creating for everybody
exactly.
else.
Exactly. Your 38 points isn't going to win the game by itself. Yeah. By yourself, right?
You're not getting 13 assists.
Right.
You're getting like five.
Exactly.
Like,
mm-hmm. That's how I'm playing it.
Mm-hmm.
As well. Same thing with Steph Curry, too. You're not gonna stop him from getting him. I mean, that's the craziest release I've ever seen in the NBA. It's so quick. So he doesn't even follow through. How do you shoot so well you don't even follow through? The first thing we're taught when shooting is to follow through.
It looks like his hand don't even go that far. It's like,
right. It just kind of – and then kind of swats back a little bit.
Falling back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the star matchup, everybody. I mean, this is what the league wanted. This was their best hope. It's like we can get Golden State, you know, with this new star, and we get LeBron James. You know, they selling. You know, I think the Thompson versus Irvin injury thing, I think, you know, the number two guys are going to have to step up. Irvin is going to have to play well, because if they're not forcing Curry to play defense, it's giving him more energy on the offensive end.
Mm-hmm.
So this is when I think Irvin is going to have to be the number two guy. He can't just be a role player in this series if Cleveland's going to win it. And for Klay Thompson, I don't think the concussion is going to stop him all that much. I'm not that worried. I think I'd be more worried for Kyrie because his has lasted longer.
Mm.
But I'm going to need, you know, Klay Thompson will probably be guarding Kyrie Irving a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you're going to have to, well, let's see that two-way player. And he's going to need a game where he's like, this is my game.
He's going for like 30,
yeah,
40
we can't,
points.
Curry can't be the dude all four wins. Somebody else, and I think Klay Thompson has to have one where he's just like, I'm shooting the damn lights out tonight, and goes off for like 35 and eight boards, something. He's just like, okay. Like, oh, Curry only had 15, but.
Ain't got to be the Splash Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Ain't going to happen, because he hasn't done it all playoffs.
Has he always been on the whole, you know, he's going to choke or.
No, he's happy.
Yeah, he hasn't.
He's played.
I'm not saying he's choked, but he hasn't been the Klay Thompson we saw earlier in the season, has he?
He's been okay.
He's been good.
Okay, yeah.
And he's had moments in games where he's taken over. But I guess when you look at the box score, he hasn't had that game where you're like, oh, this was clearly I'm hot tonight.
Right.
Game.
Right, 37 points in a quarter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He can give you – I think he had a game he's probably had like 25 or something, but like 30-plus, I think they're going to need that one game then to win. And it's just – to me, it's going to be about that depth for Golden State.
Yep.
I think it's going to be to push him over. And when you got Livingston, who you can put on Irvin, and you can probably throw him on LeBron James for a second, you know, with Barbosa – their backup center, I always forget how to pronounce his name.
Like Izzelli, yeah. something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, he had a nice game five.
He's athletic.
You know,
he's very athletic.
He's
guy.
Played during the season. I'm like, oh, he's a nice little big man,
mm-hmm.
a backup. So you got that. I don't think most Bates is playing at all. I mean, hey, you got David Lee in the pocket
mm-hmm.
in case they want to go small. And, you know, for the finals, a player like David Lee – He come in there, he grabbing like 10 boards. He's going to be like, you playing me? All right. Because mm-hmm. he's not – at some point, he's getting shipped off, and he'll just be bouncing around kind of guy. So if I'm him, I'm like, coach, put me in. I'm about to just – he's the kind of guy, he could match Tristan Thompson's effort.
Mm-hmm.
That would be – when they both on the floor, I'd watch that. I'm like, all right, he was a rebound, who wants it? But I do think their depth and all that is going to thing that pushes them over.
Mm-hmm. I picked Golden State in seven too, but that was hard. It was hard for me. This is a series where you can't go against how LeBron's playing right now, mm-hmm. and how he's been carrying this team with, you know, even the last series, how badly they annihilated Atlanta, mm-hmm. with, you know, a couple of games where it was just him. He was the only one of the big three that was there.
It's just him and some role players.
Exactly. Him and some substitute teachers, I called it.
If it feels, I know, even though this team technically is better, I think it feels very much like 07 when he took that team to the final, where it felt like it was LeBron James
and everybody else.
I'm not counting them out. I just
hope it's a better series than these last two series we had in the conference finals, because they were so disappointing. Yeah, 4-1, 4-0.
Because the second round was pretty good.
It was. Yeah. And you kind of thought the third round, like the conference finals, was going to be at least competitive.
Yeah. I hope this is not like the last time Cleveland went to the finals,
right,
man, where it was basically like sweep, basically. And a lot of people, they won a game. That. Did they win a game?
They won game two.
Oh, okay.
They did?
Yeah.
I thought San Antonio swept.
I thought they swept them too.
But I hope it's not like that. I hope it at least goes to five or six games. Has to.
So nobody's giving, except for LeBron fans, nobody I've heard is giving Cleveland a chance in hell winning this series.
Well, you know LeBron likes that. Supposedly, I'm not the, you know, people can play on that, I'm not the favorite kind of thing.
I mean, let's just be frank. Everybody's been crapping on how terrible the East is.
Yeah.
That's true.
Why, you know, Golden State, we know, is tested. They've been tested. They went through Memphis, went to Houston, and all that. They've been tested. Well, they've done their thing.
They just don't have a healthy. If you had a healthy Kyrie Irving,
Cleveland would
see more people going
Boston.
For
yeah.
Cleveland.
They struggled a little bit in Chicago and then wiped through Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Have they really been tested?
A little something. With Kyrie Irving being hurt, yeah, I just think it's more so LeBron just taking his game up. You know, like you said, I think the Bulls weren't ready, but we'll get into all them other teams.
so pissed
but
off.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think it should be a good matchup. I just think no healthy Irving is another thing that's putting things in the Warriors' favor. But I'm excited. I know he's loving it. Like, I'm underdog. All right. Game one, Golden State better get. Do not give up home court after game one. That's all I'm saying. Yep. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, get into some more basketball talk with some coach moves and lottery and all that. Y'all listen to the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour.
Holla. Shine my boy selecta.
That's Mark Madsen.
Yep. Yeah, really.
Got a few rings.
That's like, you don't fucking count that.
Don't matter. I got rings.
Not in the land of Twitter.
I got rings. I don't care what you say.
In the Instagram world, they're going to be like, you ain't win shit.
Right. Hey, Ori's got more than Jordan.
I take a picture of it like, shit, I got the proof right here.
A ring is a ring.
Is a ring. Mm-hmm. I was in them practices.
Right. I sat on the bench and cheered my ass off. What you talking about?
I gave the motivational pep talks.
I did the dancing at the parade.
Oh, my God.
The Lakers gave a few people championship rings.
Yeah, they did.
Who you haven't heard from, never hear from again.
All right, y'all. Welcome back to the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour.
Yes, sir.
So if y'all want to get at us, talk some finals, we up in here with our boy Spirit from the Hoopla.
Yeah.
Y'all want to hit us all up. Y'all want to talk some basketball. Who y'all got? We all got the Warriors. I know where y'all Cleveland fans at. We know what's
LeBron
out there.
James fans. Yep. Let's just call them what they are.
And the LeBron haters, we know it's plenty of y'all out there.
Go ahead and hit us up, too.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Reach us via email, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. On Twitter, @brotherslayman. On the hotline, 323-455-4219.
Yes, sir.
All right, so we got the now the finals out the way. Let's talk some more basketball. Hit these coaching hires, man. People making moves already.
Yep.
Got Scott Skiles going to Orlando Magic.
The epitome of average. I actually pulled this up. I have some stats that they pulled up on SportsCenter. I could pull it up right now because I read it yesterday. I was like, okay, he coached 13 NBA seasons with the Suns, Bulls, and the Bucks.
And the Bucks, yeah. Mm-hmm.
443-433 overall regular season record. I mean, if that's not the epitome of average, I don't know what
like
it is.
Like 500.
Yeah, .506 actually. 6 playoff appearances, 18-24 career playoff record. What the fuck, man? I mean, seriously, you were even talking earlier about how there are no good playoff, no coach, or is that you that said that?
I mean,
that's why they're going to these
good,
college
ones. Not a good, lot of good NBA coaches. I mean, look at Tibbs. Even Tibbs, as good as he was regular season, his playoff record wasn't that good.
They never made it to the conference finals.
Yeah.
But
they got there once.
He was also dealing with issues. No, now, he made it to the conference finals?
They made it to the conference when they played Miami. And then Derrick Rose got locked down by LeBron James, and the rest was history.
That's when they went to the first time they went to the finals.
Miami went to the finals?
Yeah,
when they lost to Dallas. The quote-unquote rivalry started between the Bulls and the Heat. Or the Bulls and LeBron, let's say that.
Because after that is when he got hurt the next season.
Yeah.
It started that three-year run.
We never got
to. But see, he dealt with a lot of injuries and whatnot, too. So I thought Tibbs was actually a really good coach.
I mean, he was a good coach. The only thing, as a fan, that really irked me was just the amount of
beating
minutes.
Up his players.
Yeah, I'm like... Because I always go back to Luol Deng. Look at Luol Deng today. He's broken. Mm-hmm. He's broken. Tibbs broke him.
And
my fear was he doing this to Jimmy Butler. He going to do this to Jimmy Butler. Pau Gasol was averaging like 35 minutes a game this year. You don't need to play. And he's 34. You don't need to be playing these dudes this many minutes. He does, I don't know, for whatever reason, he don't like going to the bench that much. And Chris made a point. It pissed me off in the series with Cleveland, and the series with Milwaukee, he wasn't using Nikola Mirotic much and called him a situational player. I'm like, this fool was the second, was what, number now, two led, rookie of the year?
Yeah, but he said
he led the league in fourth quarter scoring.
And you don't use him.
It's like that dude who leads the league in fourth quarter scoring, and he's not playing?
That's the type of stuff that I think annoys Bulls fans and annoyed management.
Well, that was the same thing with Doug McDermott too. Like, didn't he say earlier in the season that? Because I think they said that he wasn't very big on rookies.
He's not.
He wasn't a big.
I mean,
fan
Jimmy
of
Butler didn't get no time as a rookie.
No,
a lot of these guys.
Then you started seeing this season. He had depth. I think from management standpoint, it was that because they wanted for him to manage minutes.
And they gave him many restrictions for like Noah and
different articles I've read. Rose. It sounds like this is something that owners regularly do. Like, hey. We don't want you playing this guy.
They want you to burn him out.
And they're just and he was just like,
he was like it's my way.
Yeah,
like he was basically
sound like he just like leave me alone, let me coach.
And you see why dudes was always hurt.
Yep. And even with all of that, Paxson still said that if they won the championship, he wouldn't have been fired.
Exactly.
Right.
Because they thought this was the best chance they had to do it.
It was.
With a depleted Cleveland Cavaliers team that they still got, they couldn't take out.
Right. You finally got
I was like, this is the Bulls' easiest chance to get to the finals. And they blew it.
Yeah, and the fact that the way it happened.
And the last game when they quit, that was it.
Right.
That was it.
Yeah, and they knew they were burning. You just like, come on, dude. Like, you deep. Yeah, not like, you're not playing mirror technique? What the fuck? Like, you just, stuff like that just didn't work. I mean, in Tibbs' favor, dude clearly can coach. I mean, you can see.
Absolutely.
You know, he coaches Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose wins the MVP. You know, look what he did.
I mean, defensively, he's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, his teams were like top three defensively.
Top three, yep.
You know, helped turn Noah into an all-NBA player.
Defensive player of the year.
He's a good defensive coach.
A very good defensive coach.
I mean, he seems to get a lot of out of his players. Because, I mean, he had DJ Augustine, Nate Robinson.
Mm-hmm. Aaron Brooks this year.
Yeah, guys who somehow come in on the point guard and actually contribute. He can coach. it just wasn't working between
and
him
I guess
and
another man. Issue they had was they wanted him to hire an offensive coach because clearly he can't coach offense.
Right. Yeah.
And he didn't want to. And it's like, dude, like, it's kind of the whole Mark Jackson kind of thing. He didn't get along with management. Yeah. You got to go.
Yeah, and I think it was just time. But I do agree with you that I think at this point, folks was just like, the team just kind of were like, because they said, you know, they, of course, it's just sources, and they didn't name names, but they were like, some of the exit interviews were kind of like,
yeah, we need a change.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
From the players.
I didn't like what they did, though, as far as the fact that we know all of this is only sabotaging them for other jobs. Every other team, when they fire somebody, is always like, well, we wish them well. We just decided to go in a different direction.
I didn't appreciate the way they put all their business out there. Did you read the owner's letter? I didn't like the way Jerry Reinsdorf handled that. That was like, that was very terrible.
You know, basically, we do things a certain way, and, you know, there's some people who just want to go their own route. You're like, what the f-?
They really, it's like they were sabotaging any chance for him to get another job.
Because I heard where, I guess, they were offering him a contract extension, and he just let it sit there for like
months.
Yeah, like, damn. And then even, you know, I heard this thing about, I guess, when Jeff Van Gundy made a comment about the organization or something, or backing him, that he feels like, oh, that's your friend. You having Jeff Gundy talking crap about us.
It was just an ugly situation.
Yeah, it was like an ugly breakup.
Yeah. It was just a very
ugly situation. Too successful for that. I mean, it's not like he, you know, was the worst coach that you've ever had, or you know, like you guys were had a losing record or anything.
Plus, they you know, and I had to change our little time because it almost came to head because there was that rumor that they were just going to wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To all the coaching positions revealed. Yeah.
Because it came out before that where they were like, he was like not going to help them get any draft picks. Like, all right, well, because clearly you just like, oh, you losing Tom Thibodeau? Okay, we'll trade him. Get you some picks. And he was just like, I ain't doing shit for y'all. You're like, damn.
Yeah.
So,
real ugly.
I mean, they got rid of him. And you know, it is what it is. And Fred Hoiberg's supposed to step in now. So,
what do you think of that? Because, I mean,
I'm curious. I'm curious only for the fact that, I mean, I've never been a big proponent of coaches who have no NBA coaching experience. But I do like the fact that he at least had experience in the upper management. He was assistant GM for the Minnesota Timberwolves for a while. He turned Iowa State around in college. They said he ran it like an NBA organization. Yeah. They were basically like he picked up transfers like they were free agents and was just like trying to run it basically like an NBA team. So it seems like I've heard a lot of Steve Kerr comparisons.
Of course.
And I don't even look at the fact that they just two white guys. I'm just like they've both been in upper management.
Yeah.
No, they have some experience when it comes to the coaching side. So,
you know, recent NBA player.
You know,
played for Chicago for 1 minute.
And I mean, I'm sure he's one of those players who he wasn't the flashiest, but he had a lot of respect from his peers.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, I'm hoping he can use that to his advantage. They say he's a player's coach, so hopefully the players will like him. I guess they said he runs a little bit more of an open offense, so we'll see. But I mean, shit, he's a rookie coach, so I have no expectations really. I don't know.
OKC versus Chicago in the finals next year. The two college coaches, the
first
two
time
rookie college
coaches. Two college coaches have faced each other. It's like, God.
Well, my feelings about my squad picking up that coach are already documented. So I feel your pain on that. And actually, yours is better than mine because mine hasn't had any kind of experience. He's turned down jobs before, and he's the best friend of Sam Presti. It's like, you know, is this the YMCA, or is this are you trying to build a championship team here? And you know what's funny too is I'm thinking about it, and unfortunately, even if we hadn't picked up Billy Donovan, I don't know if I would have wanted Tibbs. Mm. And that's kind of saying a lot, and not necessarily because of the stuff that I've heard recently, but because of the fact that we only have two, you know, like our team consists of two stars. I can't be having you playing a 47 minutes a game. I mean, Westbrook probably wouldn't care, but KD coming off of an injury, and you know, I don't know how I feel about that.
I mean, defensively, you know, the team would be
great,
unbelievable.
It would be great, mm-hmm.
And I think he'd be good for Serge Ibaka.
Yep,
but. I agree. I think he would run those two into the ground.
He would. I think he would. I don't trust him with that, you know. And that's the only that, like, otherwise, like, if he was the assistant coach,
yeah,
and he was able to help out on defense but not the one calling the shots and the minutes, I'd be like, that would be perfect. Even if he backed up Billy Donovan, you know, I would feel better with there being an NBA coach behind him, you know, who has that experience, which is a good thing with what Steve Kerr has now too, with his assistant coach getting out, which I'm sure you're actually going to bring up later. My bad.
No, it's good.
I'm jumping the gun.
No, I'm good. We're right
talking
there.
About coaches.
You know, right into it. Yeah, Alvin Gentry getting hired to New Orleans.
Because I thought Tibbs was going there possibly.
I thought Alvin Gentry might have been going to Chicago. There were rumors initially.
Mm. No, I like this for Alvin Gentry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you get an opportunity to coach a superstar in the making. Pressure, though, you gotta perform. You gotta perform.
Yep. Now we on. I mean, he's done well against regular season wise, but not so much playoff wise.
Yep.
As a lot of coaches in the NBA are.
Yeah, I guess he's thinking he can make some improvements with their team. Maybe reach Drew Holiday or Tyreek Evans a little better. Well, they got talent.
What did he say? He said something about the job he took. I don't know if it was a shot at Monty Williams. Let me see, where is it?
Who did?
Alvin Gentry.
Oh, took a shot at Monty Williams.
Alvin Gentry don't need to be taking any shots. He just shut his ass up, coach the finals, and then get this team together.
I mean, bringing bad karma on yourself, like right there in the playoff.
Hey,
the
it's not like your Phoenix record was really like, you know, spectacular for you to be taking shots at people. You got to just shut up and coach.
New head coach Alvin Gentry said he believes Anthony Davis was underutilized on the offensive end last season.
What?
That's what he said.
He was underutilized. What did he want him to average 50? What? In his breakout season where he – what?
It was like his third season in the league. You know, he jumps like 20-some points, and you're like
– oh, shit. Hey, he's going to play Anthony Davis 48 minutes a game this season. You better watch out.
He was underutilized?
Anthony Davis was underutilized?
That's what they say he said.
Okay. Did he watch the game? Well, he was in Golden State. He was on the road. Yeah, it was too much. He couldn't watch the games.
Oh man. Good Lord.
But I would say with your thing with Scott Skiles. Scott Skiles turns teams around.
Well, terrible teams, yes.
Yes. And he's in the position where Orlando's just at the bottom. So they've got talent now, but they're just, you know, they haven't won anything. So they're just like, get us to the playoffs. That's all they need him to do. Get us to the playoffs. And when it seems like you've kind of, you know, got this team playing with a nice little thing, like, oh, we can do something now. Okay, well, let's go get somebody else.
Fired, right. And getting this team to the playoffs is going to be an uphill battle.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They got, you know, they've got their, well, I won't say clearly, but it looks like they have their backcourt for, I would say, I'd give it 5 years. Mm-hmm. 3 or 4 years, you got, it's a nice backcourt with Alfred Payton and Oladipo,
yeah.
Tobias Harris is nice.
You got Vucevic
is good. Yeah,
you know, see if he can develop the draft pick from last year. Was it Aaron Gordon? He's so athletic.
I hate him. So athletic, but he's so crappy on offense. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. He will be a bust. Mark my words.
They got the fifth pick now. Oh, so the they got to be smart about that.
Well, I mean, we didn't. Did we talk about it the last time we were on the show?
And, no, we.
All right, go ahead, fucking Lakers. Go ahead and cheer and holler and we got the number 2 pick. Yeah. Like, okay.
Hey, congratulations to the Lakers on that.
And it sucks for the Knicks. Feels so bad for them
because everybody else stayed. The only thing that changed was them and the Lakers swap pick. Yep. That's it.
And did you hear? Did you see it? The lottery
when they called
that to the next
Byron court, winked,
and the whole room was like,
I mean, because we kept saying, we was like, the whole city is gonna be like.
All I said was, if the Lakers didn't get that lottery pick, I was gonna burst in laughter.
Oh, dude.
That's all I was gonna do.
Because I was listening to it. Half of it was on my phone, and then I had. For a minute when they had this live thing with Max and Marcellus. So, but yeah, good for them, you know, getting in the top three, getting the top two especially.
Now, I will say, they have Julius Randle. Mm-hmm. Everybody has been hooting and hollering about Karl-Anthony Towns. Me, personally, I'm like, Jahlil Okafor, the best player in the draft. Jahlil Okafor, if Jahlil Okafor don't drop to the Lakers, do the Lakers truly take Karl Anthony Towns? I mean, to me, people are like, well, he's a stretch four. I'm like, they have a four.
Yeah.
They don't need another one. So do you take Karl Anthony Towns since he's, quote unquote, the best talent? Or do you take D'Angelo Russell out of Ohio State, who I think they should take, point guard, set?
Yeah, they're trying to compare him to be one of them stud point guards.
He compares himself to Steph Curry. That's high. That's some high confidence. But, I mean, I like the kid's game. I mean, Karl Anthony Towns, I'm still not sold on. I'm not. Everybody is sold on him. He averaged like 15 minutes a game. I get you how deep his team was. You know, he can make his free throws and he can shoot a jumper a little bit. But I'm still like, I haven't seen it. I'm like, Jahlil Okafor went to Duke, was the guy. They built basically the team around him for that year. And he basically showed he was the best player in college basketball. Period. He got his team to the chip.
Some people got their doubts.
I mean, as good as Kentucky was, y'all couldn't get to the championship.
Yeah.
Jahlil Okafor got to the championship. I'm just saying. So, Jahlil Okafor, to me, proved, I'm like, he went in there, averaged 20 points, blah, whatever, and was just like, yeah, he don't need to stay. There are very few people, I always say, that can just go in one year and then just leave. Jahlil Okafor to me was one of the few players who was like, yeah, he can do the whole one done thing. I'm like, clearly you saw he doesn't need to be on college basketball anymore. I mean, he has offensively, a lot of people have compared him to Tim Duncan as far as his post game coming out of college. They say he has moves already. He can come in offensively and already be kind of a cornerstone for your team. Karl Anthony Towns, I don't know. He's athletic.
Well, it sounds like he can play. It's just, you know.
I'm not saying he can't play, but I'm not sold.
Well, it's because we're always basing off a year of college.
Right.
Sometimes it depends on the system because it sounds like he could spread the floor, but Calipari was like, I need you to go in the paint and just beast. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay, I'm going to go in the paint and beast. And we only get a year, so we never get to really see like they used to in college where a guy would just expand his game, or I guess the coach would let him go off. I guess he didn't need it in Kentucky. If I'm the Lakers, it's hard not to go just, all right, if you pick him, I'm picking the other guy. If I'm Philly, I'm hoping who got number three, I'm hoping they, whoever, I don't care, one of y'all, these first two picks need to be the bigs.
Yep.
Because I want D'Angelo Russell.
Yep.
And the Lakers could also pick Towns and then trade him.
Mm-hmm. Trade him to Philly.
Mm-hmm. And maybe, or to whoever to get a guard.
And try to get something else.
Yeah. I mean, for the Lakers as a whole, they've got another draft pick in there, I think
26 or 27 or something like that.
They need to hit on this first round. I mean, where the Lakers are at. You know, people got being in denial, a lot of Laker fans. But just your draft went well, you know. Jordan Clarkson was one of them picks where Jordan Clarkson is one of those where you're like, oh, I might actually
that was a good pick.
Maybe I can trust the front office to draft well. That was
but
they got to do it again.
Jim Buss ain't getting no credit for that one, did he? Yeah, nope. No, he ain't getting no credit for drafting Jordan Clarkson, where he gets all the shit for fucking up the Lakers.
Or it's Mitch. I don't know how they do.
I'm just saying.
And plus, we don't know how Randall's going to return. You know, how he's going to – I mean, you know, he got injured with the first game of the season.
Right.
So we really don't know. We don't know what he's capable of. We don't know what he was capable of before now after the injury.
So in a sense, it's a wasted draft pick.
No, because clearly you've seen what teams like Atlanta – look, in this NBA, you can play two small forwards. I mean, two power forwards. You can. Now,
can
you go deep? That's not – at this point, we don't care. You get the – if – on your draft board, you say these two, Towns and Okafor, are the two best players in the game on your board. Then you take whoever one falls to you.
As far as the critics and analysts say.
Because what the Lakers are, we get superstar players.
We need to take the best possible talent.
So you take it. You got the talent. If you just have a gang of talent, you flipping it. As the Lakers, you're like, okay, well, I got this talent here. I'd give you this talent to a team who got a
superstar. So if they take Towns,
Anthony Davis, tired of being sucking in New Orleans here?
If they take Towns, should they trade Randall?
No. Because at this point, you don't know.
Right.
What if they both hit off
you have what, 3 years? I mean, you get them both, you have 3 years. I don't like, oh, well, you know, next season Randall goes off and you're like, oh, well, what, should they trade Towns? I'm like, nigga, I have them for 4 more years on $6 million.
I guess my concern is that I don't feel Towns is big enough to play the five. I don't think he's
well. He doesn't have to. I mean, he can play it a little bit, but maybe you just work around
rotate
it.
Rotate him.
Yeah, because you know what if say you get him and then Towns just doesn't really play that much because maybe you got if I guess Jordan Hill is still on the team, he deserves to get some minutes, and maybe you know Towns is like your third or fourth big. And then he just starts balling like in March. All right, he's a rookie. This is just what they do. This is what you do. You just take him. But next season, my focus is I want to see Randall ball. And if Towns balls too, great.
Just a bonus.
You know, you're just like, all right, well, we got
to I'm like, if I'm a Laker fan, I'm hoping. But Russell, I'm hoping Okafor falls to me.
But, yes.
I am hoping Okafor falls. The Lakers are known for building dominant centers. He is one of the best, you know, if you want to call it big man centers, to come out in some time. He don't shoot jumpers like that. He is a post-up big man, which is what the Lakers develop.
Yeah, but you now are in a league where
everybody got to shoot.
Basically, all the bigs that you used to have, it does, to a sense, it doesn't work in this game. Like, back then, having was basically a guarantee, like, all right, we got our dog. Now we good. Now we just add around him in the league where it was like you needed a big man to win. Now you don't.
Or your big man is an outside shooting big man.
You need a solid big man, but you don't need your two or three best players to be a big.
And who's left? Who do the Lakers have to develop these big men? They don't have the same clientele they used to behind the scenes.
Yeah. See,
they don't have Kareem working for them anymore.
If you get these dudes,
that is true.
If they draft well, I mean, honestly, right now it's on Byron Scott. Like, you know, you trying to set you has a real old school personality.
Mm-hmm.
Can't you know Kobe coming back? You know, which,
you think
they're
gonna stick with Byron Scott?
Yeah.
Yes.
You think so?
They don't have a choice.
Like right now, you're not thinking of cutting him after this season. Since we are talking about the Lakers, how much are you reading into Mitch Kupchak's comments that basically he's putting a stamp on it? He's just like, this is Kobe Bryant's last season.
Mitch Kupchak can say whatever he wants to say, but if Kobe's like, no, I'm coming back next year. What is Mitch Kupchak going to say?
But this was the original time that Kobe said he was going to end it,
Kobe,
right?
Kobe's always
Kobe said.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, Kobe has the right to change his mind.
Well, Kobe's always – he's never been like
– 100%.
He's never just said, you know what, I'm retiring at the end of the 2016 season. He's just like more than likely he's always basically did that. I'm just – in a sense, I'm playing out my contract. That's how he's viewed. Like, you know, he didn't say we'll see, but he's kind of like, you know what, it might be – that might be, you know, my last year. But he's never been like, yo, I'm not coming back after this season. He's just kind of like, more than likely, you know, that's how it's looking, but never definitively like I'm not coming back. Because the way they paid him, Jenny Buss is like, nigga, he can stay a Laker as long as he wanna be.
Thank you.
So I can cast
thank
that,
you. There
that
it
47
is.
Year old Laker
there
running
it
down the court with
the
him.
Boss like, has spoken.
Like, right. I was like, because we, you know, we got this TV. I mean, you couldn't do that.
If you're gonna pay him $30 million, you're gonna go out like Jordan. Want to bet?
That's ridiculous, though.
Want to bet?
It's ridiculous.
Want to bet?
Why?
No, even
why?
If,
because he's box office. Why did they pay him $25 million?
At least he still has something left in the tank because, back then. But you're talking about now? After isn't this his second year in a row where he missed the majority of the season?
This is his second year of that $25 million contract.
Yeah, I don't. And that's good. You know, forget the lottery picks. If you're gonna keep paying Kobe these millions and millions of dollars, who cares? Who
no,
else
to
you
me,
because you're not gonna you're not trying to rebuild.
Well, to me, at this, I think if it all one, it all depends if he finishes the season. If he gets hurt again,
he's gonna come
that's
back.
It.
If he comes in this season and gets hurt in like December and it's like another 4 or 6 months. That's it. It's just kind of like
he might be done.
Yeah,
no, I think he's going to come back under that scenario. So? If he can play this season out and they actually have they're competitive, then he'll. I don't think he wants to go out like this.
I expect him to come out. I said this is his farewell tour season, even though he said he ain't doing that. I just think he's going to play. I think Byron Scott will be smart with him. Just and the Lakers itself should be like, we're not pushing him out the door, which feels like that a little bit because they know they cannot completely start over until he's gone.
Right. Yes. That's my point. Right. That's exactly. Even if stop paying him.
Now they could come back. What may happen, what you know, Laker fans would like is, you know, 2016, his 25 comes off. You don't really have anything but young guys. The cap goes up, and you can get
Kevin Durant.
You get a superstar.
Russell Westbrook.
Well, that's 2 years down.
Kevin Love.
But if they can, in the next year, in 2016, friend, they can get at least one, like,
mega star.
And at least you can get two all-stars. I'll say that.
Players.
And one of them is a perennial all-star. Yes. Then if Kobe wants to come back, you'd be like,
we'll pay you $1 million.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with paying him the minimum? Like Karl Malone and Gary Payton did that.
Because clearly we've already been shown that Kobe, by his words and what he's taken, has said, you're going to pay me my value.
You're going to.
Do I think?
Now, I like that. You're now, going I'll to pay this. Me
if he, if,
when I'm working.
I don't care if we win or not.
If they get a max player plus another, like, if they get two guys that are like 10 plus million each, mm-hmm. then if Kobe is, and this thing, he's not stupid. If Kobe's smart, he'll take
$5 million.
Plus, now, plus say this. If the cap is going up like they say it's going up, if I'm Kobe Bryant, no, I'm not playing for a damn $1 million.
I'm not taking a pay cut, so you're paying me $30 million.
But okay.
If that market, you get a guy who's like 28 mil and another guy who's about 18. Kobe has to be smart and be like, I'll take 10. Maybe
right.
If the cap goes right. up higher, maybe I'll take 15. 12, but yeah. taking what he's taking now,
right. That's
if,
what I'm saying.
And if you're the Lakers, you have to seriously be like, no, nigga.
No, yeah, we cannot do anything with you. Like, all we're doing is paying you.
Like, look, exactly. this is our moment. We've got these guys. Mm-hmm. We don't have the room to pay you. We're going to take care of you, but we ain't overpaying like that. Like, we already did.
Right, we gave you $50 million.
This is Jenny Buss being like,
thank you for everything.
Do you like that last contract, we took care of you.
Yep.
You were the highest paid player in the league.
In the league.
And you didn't play.
Right, exactly.
In the league.
I knew you were all coming off surgery, and this is that whole little talk of loyalty. This is when
right. It's
like,
now all right, you have to hold your end of the bargain. You.
Right.
You got to take care of us.
Right. In that scenario, if
got
I'm Kobe,
back, y'all scratch
yes, I'm being like, oh, now y'all got some dudes, and he has to do what Iverson couldn't do. What Shaq didn't realize until they broke up was like, I'll step back.
Defer?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Do what D-Wade like, did to LeBron.
Honestly, what he said, the guy he mm-hmm. looks up to, he's going to have to do a Paul Pierce, which is fine. And just be like, you know, I'll score here and there,
yep. But
come playoff time. The situation with Paul Pierce, Kobe can do that and be fine. Because, yeah, it's like, all right, in the last 10 seconds, you can get the rock.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the whole 42 minutes – let the other dudes dominate,
yep. mm-hmm.
because we all know when you can make shots at the end of games, let us do, you know, and work that. And then you can still be the hero. Everybody knows you like 40 plus and old, so nobody's going to be like, how come you ain't playing hella minutes? You're like, let these dudes do all the work.
Mm-hmm.
You come in fresh in the playoffs. You get your ring.
Mm-hmm. That's what Kareem did at mm-hmm. the end of his career.
Yeah, yep.
he was only – I'm convinced he only continued to play to pattern his stats, you know, so he can
–
that number one, you know, scoring and yeah. scoring.
Great players got that. They still like, yeah. if I can play
– They have an ego.
At all.
Yeah, they have egos.
It's just you're not the man. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with you not being right. the man exactly. at that point. And because even if they – even with these two – with the draft pick that they have now and, you know, with Kobe's contract, we're only talking about three players. You know, we're talking about Randall, whoever they pick up. And Kobe. They still need another squad. I mean, you still have what? Jeremy Lin as your starting center? I mean, your starting point guard?
Well, he's Clarkson. Yeah,
he's off. Down. His contract's off the books.
They got Nick Young.
So then.
Swaggy.
Oh, well, in that case.
Yeah, if I'm the Lakers.
They still have a lot of work to
yeah.
do.
Yeah, yeah, if this is the Lakers, you just, since you got that pick, you just draft well
mm-hmm.
and you just let the young dudes play.
Yep.
And if, you know, say, all right, next year you have the 9th or 10th pick. Fine. Like, look, this stack
it's
the talent.
It's going to be a few years.
Yeah, just fine. You got picks. then you better make sure your team does their due diligence and draft well. So when you finally get them guys, then all of a sudden you got young talent that's still on contract. That's usually what the work for Cleveland.
What did you say, Jonathan? You said it's going to take
a few years.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I want to bring up the conversation you guys had your last episode about why do you think Minnesota should trade their pick? Because if you said you just said it's going to take a few years.
It's going to take a few years.
So why for the Lakers but not for Minnesota?
Minnesota, okay. I'm not saying Minnesota isn't going to take a few years. But if I'm Minnesota, you have Zach LaVine at point guard. You got Andrew Wiggins. You have a couple of veterans. I mean, you have what? Pegovich, and you got this kid, Dang or Dang. Yeah, you got Adrian Payne, who you got last. I mean, you have young guys. You have the number one pick in a draft where there are clearly two top players in it, which means there's value there, which means you have the opportunity to flip that pick and get you, honestly, some quality talent that's been established instead of having to wait 3 years when they're finally going to be good. Oh, and we can't afford them now because they've maxed out of their damn contract. When you now can, honestly, you saw they tried to do it last year when they tried to trade Kevin Love and get you a Klay Thompson, David Lee type, a nice combination, young enough to help you out. They tried to go after Eric Bledsoe. They were trying to go after young studs. So I'm like, trade that fucking pick, you know, you and get you like a young stud.
So you think the team they have now is good enough to make the playoffs?
Andrew Wiggins is rookie of the year. Show that he has potential to be a very good defensive player.
Potential.
Yeah.
Which means that rebuilding. So
I hate the P word, but that's what it is with these young teams that have all these.
Why now, I guess, is my question. Why do you feel like that trade
because
would be?
Because I have feel like they've been so ass for so long. It's like we got to do something. I mean, they tried drafting all these years. They hit on Kevin Love, and then they were like, all right, Kevin Love, lead us to the playoffs. Never happened. So then they trade Kevin Love off. Got Andrew Wiggins, you got Thaddeus Young, you got all these other pieces.
And Anthony Bennett, and that Anthony Bennett.
They have young talent already. You have some young pieces. Zach LaVine made a name for himself. You see that he's going to dunk contest, right? But you've seen on the court as well that he's shown the flashes that he can be great. Andrew Wiggins has shown the flashes that he can be great. So you have two young rookies. You have some vet. You have a Kevin Martin on your team who can help those young guys as a veteran. You have Pekovic as a veteran center. Trade the pick and try to get like two, three pieces, quality pieces, as opposed to one young rookie who's going to take 3 years. Trade the pick, get you a young a young guy who's been in the league maybe a year or two. Try to get you a guy who's been in maybe 5 years who's been playing pretty well. Just try to get some value instead of like, yeah, we're just going to pick one of these young guys. It's going to take us five more years to make the playoffs. It's like, to me, it's like almost like you're not trying.
But that's the same thing you just said about the Lakers, though, that it's going to take some time. They haven't had the number
Lakers are a different story because the Lakers have never sucked this bad before. Minnesota has been awful for a while. This is new territory for the Lakers. They're like, what the fuck do we do?
But so Minnesota's in familiar territory, but they've never had. I mean, besides, they had
the
Kevin Garnett.
The Lakers have it so much easier to attract free agent talent. You're in LA.
Not with Kobe, especially according to Jared Dudley.
Point proven. It's going to take some years.
Because they still paying
Kobe.
Because
you're still paying Kobe. Nobody wants to come to L.A. And, I mean, the fact of the matter is things have changed. You don't have to be in L.A. anymore to be famous and to just be this nationwide famous person and celebrity.
Yeah, but so, Minnesota is hard to sell.
It is hard to sell. And how many times have they had a number?
Look, I'm about to throw it in there, folks. See, this is me.
The number one, pick should be forgotten.
Yeah, the other one.
Dismissed, though.
Yeah, the other problem with that is if they're the other number one pick that they got in the trade was very Andrew Wiggins ish. Like, okay, we got two guys who are proven. You got one proven guy at that draft, and that's the one who was the rookie. Anthony Bennett at this point is a wasted number one pick.
I forgot he was still in the league.
That's what I'm saying. Because Eric Johnson keeps saying, oh, they got this talent. I'm like, oh, but you ain't mentioning the number one pick. Because this is the first time team has three number one picks.
Now, in Anthony Bennett's defense, it's been what, 2 years?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He got he got injured his first rookie year in Cleveland. Then he got shipped to Minnesota and really didn't get the whole, you know, a lot of time. I mean, it's been two years. It took Kyle Korver 10 to get this good.
Yeah, but he started off on a negative, averaging 4 points and like 3 rebounds a game.
My thing is, he's the number one. And in that draft with Anthony Bennett, in his defense, was one of the weakest drafts in history.
That is true.
So it was kind of like, we got to pick somebody. Mm-hmm. So they picked Anthony Bennett. It's not his fault he was the number one pick. But the fact of the matter is, he's 20 years old. He has some talent, otherwise he wouldn't have been the number one pick.
Under that theory, there's no such thing as a bust. I mean, everybody who comes out has talent, but if you can't parlay that into an NBA career, what difference does it make?
Derek Williams, who was on Minnesota, right. The number two pick, had talent.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm not drafting you a top three pick for you to be a role player.
Exactly.
And, you know, but Minnesota, yeah, I'm still on that. Just take it. I think they trading Pekovic, and they're going to try to trade Kevin Martin's contract.
It's not like Minnesota was they made the playoffs in the number 8 seed. They just need something to kind of put them over the hump. Yeah. I don't think that's a good team. No. They have potential. The P word, right. As he said, they have potential, but I don't think you give up the number 1 pick.
I do agree. If somebody gives you a good deal.
Yeah, who are you going to get for the number one pick right now? Are you going to get like Anthony Davis?
No, but I mean, let's say
a franchise, any franchise player. And that's not even what you said. Didn't you say a role player?
A veteran. Like, get a quality. Like,
I'm trying to think who, let me think who, cause I'm trying to think a guy who's, like, I guess in his second contract, that's
Gordon Hayward.
And yeah, if you can get a guy like – if you can get that
– for the number one pick?
But if you're, yeah, if you're
I'm getting, not getting just him. I'm not saying get just him, but I'm but like that's if, a starting yeah,
if you're
point.
Getting something like – give me somebody that's like a Gordon Hayward level in terms of how he's playing and
– and like a Derek Favors, maybe. You know, somebody who
– yeah, see
– maybe you haven't – you who's a good young player, but maybe – needs a change of scene.
I'm thinking, if I'm getting somebody like a Gordon Hayward, yes, I would give up my number one pick for that. If I'm giving up somebody like Derek Favors, nah, because he's had time and he ain't proven. So if I'm getting that, I'll just keep my pick and just get the. Let me get that. Who's on the beginning of this cheap contract instead of somebody who I'm gonna have to pay in like a year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
they need a point guard too. Rubio's
older
than me.
I guess when Zach LaVine comes, they hit on Anthony Wiggins. They just hope it, or Andrew Wiggins. They just hoping that this next first round pick they hit on that too, and and now they got their two guys because Anthony Bennett is not.
He's not panning out at all. Yeah.
Since we've been talking about him, mentioned his name has been brought up a few times. Jared Dudley got some balls, man, because I went back and listened to that interview. I mean, the whole nobody wants to play with Kobe. Mm-hmm. He made some points, which we've always said, like Kobe has said, I'm going to take shots being triple teamed.
Yeah.
Like
it could be 5-on-1. I'm going to take the last shot.
He's good. Just that. I do feel like he does have to defer. He's not saying anything shocking to me. Just like, look, Kobe does need to defer. He's like, yeah, there was a point where he took the most shots by like 100 on his team. And that is like, yeah, that would make somebody like, if I want to really participate and not just be a Kevin Love where I'm on a team that's winning, well, I should just be okay with that. I actually want to contribute. You know, Lakers may not be it, at least for next season. Like, yeah, I got that. But the fact that I was like, ooh, okay. Are you still playing next season?
Right.
I'm like,
right.
You are a free agent.
Like, when did you play Kobe Bryant on that? Because I was like, what he said about Melo, Melo may not say nothing. Kobe Bryant, he going to be like, okay. Oh, yeah. Jared Dudley on me. He breaking them.
My thing was, why is Jared Dudley being asked all these questions? Like when did he become the spokesperson for?
He was just making rounds.
He's making rounds.
He was on ESPN. And
but it felt like a setup. Because I mean, Collins asking him about his people, like with the Melo, who's the most over. Now he didn't.
And what do the players think about James Harden? It's like, who? Like, did he do the survey?
Because he let – Colin was like, that fool D was trash. And he was like, yeah, it was. I'm like, oh. Yeah, he was like, he went from – he was awful last year. Now he just bad. I'm like, God. Like, wow, okay, you actually said this on air. You're a player.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Milwaukee.
And then, yeah, Melo, who's the most overrated? Like, Melo. Like, damn. They even tried to joke. Like, man, if LeBron James was on that team, he'd have taken him to the playoffs. I'm like.
And LeBron James is playing with the Knicks right now. Playing with that team right now.
Yeah, the funny thing is with that trade, it was just, to me, J.R. Smith couldn't be on that team no more. I mean, people act like, oh, he was part of the, they wanted to just get rid of him. And they needed to. I'm not mad that they needed to get rid of him. I didn't think they needed to get rid of Shumpert. They just kind of were like, well, we need to get rid of J.R. Smith here. Let's just throw Shumpert
take a,
in.
Take a package
yeah, on deal. That end, that was stupid because now it backfired. But they, you know, they starting over and the number four pick. Damn.
What would you think about Melo going to Minnesota?
Like if they trading that pick for Melo?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be interesting.
Melo needs to be
that
traded.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. Now, if I'm Minnesota, I mean, of course, well.
And then Minnesota would get, I mean, the Knicks would get number one and number four.
If I'm on the Knicks side, I'm listening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, you give me number one pick, and you're giving me what? I'm like, but if I can get. You know,
if you can get Melo on Minnesota, that might not be bad.
If you give me
that might not be
a bad fit.
Yeah, if you give me the number one pick, you give me Gian Dang and maybe no, because you got you. I'm not giving just
I give you Pekovic.
I'm gonna need besides the number one pick. I'm gonna need another solid pick.
I give you Ricky Rubio.
I would need to get probably him.
And Anthony
Bennett. Anthony
Bennett. But if I can get the number one pick and another talent, and maybe like,
because you already know you ain't getting Zach LaVine and Andrew Wiggins. I mean,
maybe
all right,
you know,
right.
I would try to get like, you know, well, if I'm Melo and I pay that much, I may try to get two first rounders out of Minnesota. But if I can get like, if I'm getting the number one and something else, that. If it's a nice deal, that's going to be really tough for Phil Jackson to pass up.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I mean, I came from – now, yeah, if I'm Minnesota and I can turn the number one pick into Melo, yes.
Yeah, to a Melo.
Yeah. Then you'd be like, oh, now clearly you got another young dude. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I would do that trade.
And Melo wouldn't have to be this good because he can't be in this position where he is the man. He's not that type of player. I mean, and expect to win anything. He's going to score, but he needs people who can score with him.
He can be a great scorer and be that late-game scorer. He just can't be the leader.
Right.
And, you know, like when they went to the playoffs that last time, it was like, well, you had Jason Kidd in the locker room. Mm-hmm. You had Chandler in the locker. You actually had, like, locker room leaders to take that pressure off of Melo. Because that's not Melo's strength.
Right.
He's not.
Now, he's a scorer.
Yeah.
He's what people consider James Harden. He's just a scorer.
Yeah. Now, I think they should play him more at the four.
Yeah,
because it worked. You don't want him to play it all the time, mm-hmm. but I think doing it for a year and you got to the second round,
his rebounding was up. Yeah,
he can score in the post.
He ain't like that because he liked to shoot them out. So he liked to play outside.
But I think if you play him at the four at times, like how they do with LeBron James, he can get away with that.
Mm-hmm. He liked having slower guys guarding him too. Mm-hmm. That was what he liked about it.
But he needs some leaders over there.
Yep,
some vets. I know Storm is here because I know y'all probably talked about it with this Dwayne Wade contract talk. You know,
little bit.
What do y'all think he should do? Because he did sacrifice. Do you think he should opt out?
Yes, I'm backing D Wade 100% on this. First of all, he sacrificed to give LeBron and Bosh there. That was his team. That was his team. He brought them over there. And then
LeBron
pulled the old okie doke on him and cost his ass money. Cause he could at least, he got opted out and got him some money. But he made
the decision though.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was paid $1 million. I mean, like you said, it cost him some money, you know.
Yeah, he cost himself like $10 million a year, which is player salary is a lot. I mean, for us, it's like $10 million, the hell?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, for them, they want to get as much money as possible.
I wouldn't pay him.
Yeah, and now you got the issue because they're close to getting that repeater tax. And you pay Bosch. I mean, what happened to him was one of them freak things.
Right.
I mean, wasn't, you know, just freak hell accidents. You want to keep Dragic, but you're probably going to have to pay him a bit. You know, Hassan Whiteside, and if he continues to play like that, Noah's going to command himself a little money. You know, it's just like, and he want to get like more than 16 mil? Because that's what he's going to get now. Like,
And he misses, half the season?
Yeah, and then you stuck in the repeater tax, so nobody wants to pay that for a team that clearly wasn't good enough to go to to be a top four team in the East.
Right.
It looked like it at some point, but you know, maybe a full year, maybe. But he's in a real tough place because I don't think, of course, Pat Riley and him don't want him to leave.
Right.
But they're like, I can't overpay you.
Mm-hmm.
Are you worth paying like an extra $40 million in luxury tax?
Right. At this stage of your career.
I don't know.
This is the equivalent of Kobe getting the $50 million contract like next year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like they took care of him a couple years ago.
Right.
They overpaid then too for that stage of his career. But now Dwayne Wade is broken. Is broken down. His knees are like mine.
Yeah. He's still talented enough where whoever they get around him, he can still make a difference.
Right. But they can't get anybody around him if they're going to pay him all that money. No. Just like with Kobe. It's the same situation.
They're in a hard spot. Yeah. And I mean, the ownership's taking the heat when they were winning till LeBron's take got cheap a little early, which is why he got offended. But I'm making money, but I'm like, nobody wants these owners. Like, I'm not trying to pay all this luxury tax dough. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why they put it in there to be like, you got a window to do this. If you don't, it's going to go from $1 to $2 to $4, you know, for every dollar over. I'm like, what? So 1 year you might be paying like 50, the next year it's going to be like 120.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, what? No, I'm not trying to pay that on top of what I got to pay.
Right.
$120 million. Well, like I print money. I'm like, look, I own the team, but that's a $120 like that. Million dollar tax bill.
Right. That's a big damn bill right there. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it's unfortunate. It's kind of unfortunate for him. I know he left money on the table, but he left money on the table, you know, took a lower contract to win the championship. Yeah. And you did that. You won two of them. So it's not like, you know, I regret taking less money to win a championship. I mean, if you asked him, I'm sure he would do it again right now.
But so it's always, well, the player needs to sacrifice. The player needs to sacrifice. I'm like, at what point should D. Wade be compensated for everything he has given to the Miami Heat?
He made the decision to sacrifice. No, I don't think they – I mean, he could have – like you said, he could have opted out.
Said no, but I mean
– he did it because he wanted to win. He wanted to bring LeBron over. He wanted to bring Chris Bosh over and for them to make that run. And they did. They did do that.
And then he was also basically – I don't know if he was told or if he was assuming LeBron was going to come back for one more go-around.
Well, the hard thing was if LeBron tells you, I'm not coming back.
I'm opting out.
Well, he opted out of that money and got less, which in hindsight now he shouldn't have opted out at all. They got that new deal, but he opted out because they needed cap space. I mean, I get as a player wanting to make the money, and too many teams act like the players always got to take less money. Because some players, I'm like, well, don't pay a nigga, don't overpay this nigga then, you know. But that's easier to say when you want me to bring the guy on the team. Y'all like, okay, so what if he's asking for this much money? You don't care. You know, like Oklahoma City, like, you pay Harden whatever you want to keep him. The organization's like, yeah, I don't know. It's always a tough decision. I like him in Miami. Hope he stays on the East Coast, but, you know, I would say ain't no loyalty in sports.
He can go to New York.
everybody, heaven forbid, he goes to Cleveland.
Right.
Saw this thing with John Wall kicked off a plane due to a verbal altercation.
involving his homeboy, not even him. This was such a non-story. I really get on my nerves when people try to put it out there. Oh, this NBA player and all this, and it's like, and it's one of his homeboys. Yeah, I had nothing to do with the situation. Why is my name even involved?
Yeah, and it's hard because you never know the situation. Maybe the person outside of their group is coming at them all rough, and somebody in his crew was kind of like, "Yo, yeah." And but then it's like, "Oh, well, since it's you in this group, why don't you leave?" Because I want to be like, "Did y'all ask that other person to leave too?"
Right.
Or is it just, "Oh, let's have these four black men, y'all get off the plane."
Right.
I was like, the person who got in the altercation with him, did that person and their crew, were they asked to leave the plane as well? Because if not, I want, you know, that sounds kind of fishy. But, you know, because I would be like, wait a minute. So they get up in my face and I got to get off the plane?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah, that don't make sense.
Nah.
The better, the more other John Wall story that I found to be more interesting was about his snub from the All-NBA team. Where he basically said on Twitter, he just said, "Keep sleeping." But it wasn't until then that I was like, you know, we went over the All-NBA team.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I didn't even remember. I was like, you know what? He wasn't on any one of those teams. And he should have been.
Damn.
He definitely should have been. I'm trying to pull up the All-NBA team because I don't remember it. Because, you know, anytime I'm of the position, anytime you say somebody shouldn't be on the list, you got to tell me who they should be on the list instead of.
Right.
So I'm trying to pull up this list. I don't remember where I had it on my show.
I'm trying to remember that list, but yeah.
I mean, I'm not putting them on first team because I know that was Steph and Harden.
Harden.
Yeah, I ain't fucking with them.
Are you surprised? I honestly thought that the first team was going to be the top five MVP vote getters. I actually thought Russell would get there over Gasol. I know you feel like Marc Gasol shouldn't have been on the.
They had to do it by position, though. They don't have to do it by position?
I don't know.
I thought they did.
I'm surprised, man. He had a really breakout year.
Yeah, incredible.
And I would think Kim not being – well, if I'm picking six guards, that might be tough. Because if I'm just saying, if I'm picking – you know, you got to include
– See, okay, I'll tell you who I would take him in front of right away. Just looking at the third team – I would take him above, the second team. I would put him on over Chris Paul.
I probably would have too, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Although I saw Chris Paul made the all-defensive first team.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised. Hey, what's his name was so low? Pat Beverly, because I'm thinking like a defensive point guard. He's the one who comes to my mind.
Oh, on the all-NBA, on the defensive team? Yeah. And Kyrie Irving was on the third team. I would put Chris Paul over Kyrie Irving. So I would have put Chris Paul on the third team and then John Wall. But for him to not get on any squad, that was crazy to me.
That's shocking. It's just – it's
And Klay Thompson was on the third team.
That's what I'm saying. It's so deep at those guard positions. It's hard to pick.
Mm-hmm.
If picking six, somebody getting left out. Just because that point guard position is so damn heavy.
That's rough. And Russell Westbrook and Chris Paul are, I guess it's just guard. I guess it doesn't have to be point guard, shooting guard.
Yeah.
It's just guard. But it looks like it has to be done by position. At least that's how it was for how it ended up being this year.
Yeah.
All right. Last question before we wrap up the basketball. Did y'all believe any of them rumors between Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler and this Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan stuff?
Nope.
I didn't believe the one for Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan. I didn't hear anything about the Derrick Rose and
that was
Butler.
So fucking irritating. That was another one of the things. I'm like, y'all just looking for stuff, aren't y'all?
They said that Jimmy Butler was wanting to rock more in that game, which is why they felt like you seen Derrick Rose balling hard early and then just kind of disappeared.
And he just kind of like, he was kind of, they made it seem like Derrick Rose was kind of like, fine, here, you just do what you want then. And kind of paddle
that old Kobe thing.
I didn't believe all that because I'm like, we ain't heard a peep of any of these two things. For the whole season.
Yep.
The minute they get kicked out of the playoffs, now y'all want to bring the shit. It's kind of like, all right, whatever,
same thing
man.
With the DeAndre Jordan. Because they said it was about free throws. And I was like, DeAndre Jordan sucked at free throws all year.
Right.
And it wasn't an issue.
And I'm like, Doc Rivers just came out and was like, it's bullshit.
It's bullshit, yeah.
Yeah, he was like, I need you to work on your free. Like, you know, some players, I mean, we act like free throwing. And most people shoot a higher percentage. But it's not like everybody shoots 90%.
Right.
No.
I mean, it just so happens there's a lot of big men who do struggle. That's why I'm like, well, that's why I'm not in favor of the little chain rules. Like, so for the four players that you would do this to, everybody else gets punished because you don't want these four guys. It's not like, oh, every single person who shoots bad, we foul. And it's just like, if you deep in the playoffs and you play a lot and you suck at free throws, you probably going to get fouled a grip. And it's, I mean, this playoffs it was what? Two of them? Dwight and DeAndre Jordan. It wasn't like, oh, I'm about to hack a Shaq Tim Duncan. You know, or nothing like that. You know, Blake's not supposed to be not that great of a free throw shooter. Nobody was like, let's hack a Blake.
Yep.
He's way better than Jordan. Yeah. Jordan is horrible.
You know, let him get better. I mean, if he bumps it up to 50%, fine. You know, get a better bench.
Yep. Exactly.
Take him out.
Be sure to check us out on blackisonline.com.
All right, y'all. Well, let's get into these awards for the week. Start off with the Noice Award.
Noice, Noice, Noice.
Noice, Noice. All right, Jay, what you got?
All right. The Noice Award I have. First of all, we do want to give a Noice Award to LeBron. Just for the way he's carried his team throughout the playoffs. I mean, everybody is kind of, you know, this is the best player on the planet. He needs to act like it. He needs to play like it. And through these first three series, he has showed he, once again, is the best player in the league, best player on the planet. I mean, the man is absolutely incredible. I mean, really, when you sit back and watch him, you're just like, this fool is 6'8", about 250, can move like a point guard, can shoot jump shots, can post up, can rebound, can defend. I'm like, there's nothing he can't do. And looking at his bench, you're like, he's really doing this with this collective bunch. I mean, you take him off that team, they probably one of the worst teams in the Eastern Conference.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, you know, Jared Dudley and them were clowning around saying if he was on New York, then they'd be number eight in the East. But I'm like, that might be an accurate assessment because I'm like, LeBron is one of those type of players that he does make those players around him better. So I got to give him some love. Definitely want to give him some love.
My sister is clapping at the radio right now.
And then for my last Noice Award, stumbled upon an article in regards to Oscar Robertson.
There he goes.
Just my opinion. This is my opinion. So this is how I feel personally. I think, you know, to me, he's my favorite player of all time. I think he is the best player.
Your favorite player of all time?
I think he's the best player of all time.
Okay.
I think he's the best player of all time. Just throwing some stuff out there that I've read throughout the article. Days before the three-point shot even came into question. Just in college alone, he averaged 35.1, 32.6, 33.7. I mean, with no three-point line. Only player in NBA history to average a triple-double. I mean, and the title of that article, Oscar defines the triple-double. There it is. LeBron can get as many triple-doubles as he wants. And as they said, nobody else has put up those type of stats. But
how many did he get that game? He got like, he passed for second with like 10 or something.
Something like that.
And it was like Magic's up with like 30. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh.
So,
right.
Damn.
Just what position did Oscar, did he play two?
He played two guards.
Two?
Okay. So just want to give a shout out to my man, the Big O. Changing the game. Best player ever.
For me, I got two. I don't recall writing the date on this. I should have since so long ago. But I had to give some love to the Giants, San Francisco Giants. I guess a week, month ago, they played the Dodgers in a three-game series and swept all three. And they shut them out in each of those games. I was like, what?
Wow.
Yeah, wife was not happy.
Yeah. And then got to give love to Steph Curry, cooking with the pot, breaks Reggie Miller's record of 58 made three-pointers in the postseason. He currently, right now, has 73.
The record was 58.
Yeah.
God, Jesus Christ.
I mean, this dude just...
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, now, granted, Steph Curry plays in a league now where the three-point shot is, like, the shot. Mm-hmm. You know, Reggie Miller was shooting it. It wasn't like that wasn't the shot people wanted him to take all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know, if Reggie Miller was playing with these rules, he probably had like 100 the way he was right. shooting. But I was like, yeah, like he broke 50 and like 73.
That's ridiculous.
A lot of damn
threes. That's ridiculous.
Like, damn, he's trying to go for, he might go for 100 if this series lasts long enough. Mm-hmm. Like, so, damn, bro. Like, keep doing the damn thing.
Yep.
I forgot, did you have any awards? What did you
No, not really. I just was going to give a nice award to his little girl.
Okay.
To Steph Curry, to Riley Curry. I just thought she was the most interesting press conference I've seen. Because I have a theory that these NBA players are so freaking boring. That they needed something to, you know, to liven everything up. Of course, people had issues with it, but whatever. You know, I was glad to see something, you know, out of the norm.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that, and I have it's not to her specifically.
Yeah,
but there's a woman who was talking. But we can get into that though, real quick. I know Jonathan and I discussed it.
I mean, I don't blame her. I just feel like when you bring a child onto the podium like that. You can't have your child running all over the place, fiddling with this, fiddling with that, just talking into the mic. Because part of it is you are still on your job. You are technically still on the clock. And so are these people who are trying to interview you. They're on the clock as well, and they have deadlines they have to meet as well. So the fact that you have a young child running all over the place, clearly the cameras are going to be following her. Clearly, you know, just human nature. Your eyes are going to drift towards her because she's being a little distracting. It's just one of those things where I'm just kind of like, okay, the first time it was cute. Second time it's kind of like, all right, man, like, are you going to do this after every fucking win? Because it's one of those, like, I know you like being with your child. I know being in the NBA, you're away from your family a lot. I understand that. But for the 10 minutes that you were on the podium answering questions, you can't be like, your child's moving around. It's like, all right, can you come get her, please, so I can just finish this up? Your child can't stay for 10 minutes without you. She's been doing it for 60. She can't do 10 more. That's my only – and it's not her fault. It's not her fault. But Steph Curry, as a parent, got to know a little bit, like, okay, I'm up here. I'm still on the clock. I got to answer these questions. I don't need my little girl all over the place. Because technically, as a dad, you need to be watching her too. So, I don't know.
So, you didn't like it?
Not that I didn't like it. Like I said, it was cool the first time. I didn't mind it the first time. But then the second time, and she seemed like she was more all over the place than the first time. And at that point, I was like, all right, it's getting a little much.
I will say, I think, to be honest, at this point, it's gotten her a lot of attention.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe that's, you know, and it's straight up more money for Steph Curry and his wife in their pocket. Maybe she get, you know, some TV time out of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe she get like a 30-second commercial.
Commercial break.
You know, yeah. I don't know, but I have heard enough about it. I don't think it's that much of a big deal, but I can see it becoming a thing. And at that point, it might get crazy. Like when she came on the first time, you know, oh, it's cute. He's not the first. I mean, we've had seen like mm-hmm. with Chris Paul. I mean, let's be honest.
Derrick Rose.
Yeah, but I mean, you can honestly say, look at what Chris Paul did with his son. He didn't have that commercial before he did that, the State Farm commercial before his son was on the podium. All of a sudden, his son on the podium, now it's Lil Chris. Now he's in the commercial with the twins.
See, and
I mean, now granted, he didn't really say much. You know, he had that little with the Blake face and all of that. And you're just like, and this is Chris Paul, like this is Lil Chris.
Yeah. I'm not going to say she wasn't a distraction. Mm-hmm. I do agree with that. But I guess my thing is, and you guys know, you know, Hoopla especially, we're a little harder on people. It's just like, hey, you make millions of dollars, you got to be able to do this, this, and that. To me, she was a distraction, but you can still get the interview.
Yeah. Yes,
he can still answer. He was still answering the questions. Mm-hmm. At one point, he actually let her down off of his lap. I don't know if he should have done that because
she's running everywhere.
Yeah, now that everybody else kept their baby on their lap. But it's like, what's wrong with a little out of the norm, a little out of the norm entertainment, you know, so to speak? Like you said, even in the past, it's generated commercials. What's wrong with the – I like a little bit of them. I don't even watch press conferences anymore because I fall asleep.
Yeah.
It's just always the same thing. So, yeah, what's wrong with the little, you know, taking
something
away –
something a little different.
Yeah, adding a little cuteness to it. You know, I mean, you can still, as a reporter, if you can't still do your job – first of all, most of them record the conversations anyway. Yeah. So they know exactly – they can go back and listen to what he said and write about that. You know what I mean? And then there was one person who was like, do you have control over her like that at home? And it was like, what? What? Fuck you.
Yeah, because you're like, what's she doing? Like, oh, she's playing around? Like,
right.
What do you think she's supposed to do? Like,
exactly. She's two.
Go to work.
Right. Right.
Like, go outside and fix my car. Or do something like, what the hell? Like, seriously? Like,
and yeah, he was still at work. And I do agree. I mean, I'm not saying that the whole thing was just perfect and everybody mm-hmm. should just shut up.
Yeah.
But absolutely. I do think that it was possible for them to still continue to do their job.
Of course.
Both on both sides, yeah. even despite that. I mean,
I agree.
And you're professional.
Yeah. And I don't believe this point where they're making like, well, a playing for the losing team, it might stop us from asking, you know, a tough question. And I'm like, well, it ain't happened yet. I'm for the more so, like, I want to see them. I'm cool with bringing your kids out, like, at the end of a series. Win or lose, like, if you know, like, when they won and we're going to the finals, okay, I'm cool with that. You know, ain't no game for a week. You just won something big. Okay, cool. Even if they lost, like, all right, but just, you know, a random game, yeah.
I'm not start interviewing some of these kids. It might be better.
On one hand, then some of them are real born. They don't ask a lot. It depends on the person. Yeah, but a lot of the questions are stupid.
Yeah.
But I can see, I will admit, like, I didn't notice when she came on that second time, she knew what was up. She came on there like, oh, yeah.
Y'all went to the episode.
Y'all ready? She seemed like she was, like, aware of the attention she was getting.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, I'm getting this attention. Mm-hmm. Cause she over there singing, well,
I'm blessed. I feel blessed.
And I was like, oh, here come anything. You let your kid listen to this. You're a terrible parent.
Yep. Yep.
But she was acting. She was being busy.
She has personality. Mm-hmm. Even at her age right now, she has personality.
So I'm expecting, I'm just like, bring it. When you win, bring her on.
Yeah.
When you win the championship, even if you when the series is over, win or lose, you can bring your daughter up. I don't want to see her after game one win. But me personally, like, look, just because now you're starting to just now you just, it's a thing now. Don't do that. Just wait when it's a special moment when you win and you got, you know, of course, like with Duncan had his two damn near twin children mm-hmm. out there. You know, that was cool. Like, oh, it's your son. You just won. That's special. But like, yo, you got a game in 2 days. Like,
right. I could dig that.
Yeah, because even probably the rest, like, look, man, because now we got to take, like, an extra 10 minutes because your kid just moving around. Look, I don't want to be here neither. I don't. You don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. Let's just get through this and get this over with.
Yeah.
Which leads in to my what the fuck moment.
What? What the fuck? Slow down. What? What the fuck? No! 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 Fuck that!
I have two today. The first one is going to the female reporter who, on that game four, as soon as they sat down to interview, she was like, are we doing this again?
Yep.
And you're like,
did you what? Just say that out loud?
To him?
And I was like, did you say that directly to him? Oh, you're so like, fucking stupid.
We going to do this again? Oh, bitch.
Yeah, because that's when I was like, when she came, he brought her down, and she's just smiling. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh. And I was like, see, you didn't have to say it. I mean,
right.
You trust. Thought like, it. Trust. But,
you, were, right. You were probably not the only person who was like, oh, here we go.
Yep.
But ain't nobody going to say that. Because you know the player's going to be like, yeah, I'm not taking questions from her.
Right.
You know, be like, yeah, I remember you,
right.
mm-hmm. bitch. You want to talk to my daughter? You want to talk to my daughter? Oh, you don't? Okay. No, we good. I mean, I wouldn't blame him for that. He was just when she came up and he pulls a Russell Westbrook like him. I mean, you know, or just do a Popovich like, yeah, we play hard. And then just don't answer. Everybody else gets a real question and mm-hmm. then she come and you just be like, yeah, he played good tonight.
Mm-hmm. Don't the players have the ability to revoke their press passes?
Didn't Kobe do that?
After he was asked about Colorado?
Yeah, we probably won't be seeing her anytime.
Right. I was just like, right. Wow, okay. And then my other one is, I've seen this before with players, so it's not, I guess, shocking being, you know, 30-something. But that picture they showed of Dwayne Wade on the scale with them black nail polish on, I was like,
what? What?
Come on, man. This is the dude that wears women's clothes, though. So y'all couldn't have been all that surprised.
No,
he dresses just like his wife.
I think I remember Shaq did it for a little period where he was showing out this red toenail. I was like, oh, where? I was like,
okay.
Because I was like, folks really doing it? Like, I thought, you know, when Shaq did it, it was just like, oh, I'm in the moment. Wait a minute. If you doing this, that's got to mean, like,
grip other people doing that shit.
Folks, some of these men going to get their feet done, like, you throw some polish on that joint. And not that, not the clear polish neither. Like, some actual colors, like,
that yellow go good with my color.
Put that French manicure on
my
there.
Skin complexion.
Don't wear no
That's some glitter.
The next thing you know, you're going to see, it's going to be summertime. They're going to be like, oh, it's hot. And they wearing sandals. Like, are your feet painted?
Going with
your feet out?
Going with his wife to go get matching.
We doing it together.
Yeah.
Like, shit. I couldn't. Oh, yeah, that's what I got.
All right. So for mine, first of all, I gave a what the fuck moment to Mark Sanchez the last time he shitted on my boy Tim Tebow. Now I got to do it again. Matt Barkley is now getting a what the fuck for shitting on my boy Tim Tebow. He said, when asked about the competition for the number three quarterback spot, he's not taking any of my reps. He's an arm we need for the team. And apparently some quarterback is moving to wide receiver. So they're like, yeah, with him going to wide receiver, we need another arm. Tim's just one of us. He's trying to make the team just like we all are. It hasn't affected my approach to how I feel about the team or how I feel the team thinks of me or how I'm going to go out and compete every day. I'm like, will y'all leave Tim Tebow alone? I hope he makes the team. Because everybody is like, nah, he's just an arm. He's just some guy here. We don't give a shit about him. It's like, dude, cut the massive slack. So, shout out to my Barkley, who probably going to get released anyway. Talking all that shit.
Probably so.
And then, I know we talked about him earlier. I'm giving a what the fuck to Jared Dudley for reneging on them Carmelo Anthony comments. Apologizing for calling him overrated.
Oh, I didn't see that.
And in the same breath, basically still called him overrated. He appeared on ESPN New York 98.7 and apologized for calling Anthony the most overrated player in the league. I shouldn't have said that. That was my fault for saying that because it's not the truth. I apologize for saying that about Carmelo. You get kind of frustrated at times seeing because of him having to make his other guys better and defensively certain things. But for me to say he's the most overrated, that was wrong for me to say. He's arguably a top three or four scorer between him, Kevin Durant, and Russell Westbrook. But if you see, that's not enough in this league. If you're a number one guy and you're a max guy, this is a superstar league. You have to be able to do certain things. Nigga, you just basically called him overrated again. Like, you basically said he's a number one. He got to do more. Ergo, he's overrated. So it just, I was kind of like, I'm one of those guys. Stick by what you say, man. Stand by your comments. If you feel he overrated, he's overrated. I think his agent was kind of like, yo, dude, you are a free agent. We're trying to get jobs.
Trying to be a little PC.
So, I mean, that's all I got. But I was just kind of like, man, did you – again? Here we go again with this. I didn't mean what I said. Like, get the fuck out of here. And then you said it again, basically. So, yeah. It is what it is. But, yeah, what the fuck?
You got one, man?
Yeah, I got a fake one. Okay. I got a fake one. But to Trevor Ariza, who apparently has an issue with light-skinned niggas in the NBA. First, he was the one who Steph Curry fell over to hit his head.
Yeah.
Then he was the one who kneed Klay Thompson in the head.
Gave him that Sagat Tiger knee. That's what I was like, nigga, that was a Sagat Tiger knee Street Fighter.
Right.
Like, damn.
Right, I'm like, yeah, clearly he has an issue with light-skinned niggas. No, I'm just playing. It wasn't intentional in any case, but I did think it was funny that he happened to be the one.
Of course.
Yeah. Right. So that was it. I was just fucking around.
Oh, man. But, yeah, man, thank you for coming through, man.
Absolutely.
Hanging out with us.
Thank you for having me, man. Had a blast, as always, man. I love talking sports with y'all. I listen to y'all's show every week. And
likewise.
It's good to actually be here listening, like talking to you, because a lot of times that I'll say stuff out loud while I'm listening to your show, and I'm like, oh, they can't hear me.
Oh, man, glad to get you
on.
Yeah,
definitely want to get you on.
Hey, man, so man. Let everybody know where they can find you.
You can find the G-Spot Podcast Network. You can find us on Facebook and under Hoopla and under my name, Spirit G. That's with Spirit with two T's and G-E-E is the last name. Or email us at hooplashow@gmail.com. Oh, I'm also on Twitter. I'm not on Twitter that much, though. But I do. I think you guys are the only ones I ever talk to on Twitter. But on Twitter, at the Hoopla Show. So, you know, holla at us. Check us out. And I do it with my sister, as I said, my sister Storm, who I know I'm gonna have to hear about the love you gave to LeBron. I know I'm just gonna get a
just paying my respect.
Did you hear what he said? You know, her and my mama. I'm gonna have to get it. And I said that I've been giving him more love. You know, he hasn't been pissing me off as much as he was like earlier in the year. And that's what I always said. A lot of it I do to piss her off, but a lot of it is, I mean, I want to be wrong with the things that I criticize him about, because I never denied he's the best player in the game. Play like it, dude. That's all. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Don't, you know, now, like you were talking about, you know, stick by what you said. Don't give me that PC shit.
Exactly.
I don't hear that. Talk to me. Tell me what's
exactly.
Up.
Well, so, there you go, man. You know where to go. You can check out the Hoopla Show. You can also check us out. We want to thank y'all for checking out the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour on the Black Is Network. You can find G-Spot Network and our network, iTunes and Stitcher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can also find us on SoundCloud. You can also go to our website, www.blackisonline.com. If y'all want to get at us directly with any comments, feedback, or whatnot, hit us up via email, thebrotherslehman@gmail.com, on Twitter, @brotherslehman. On the hotline, 323-455-4219.
Yeah, definitely want to thank y'all for tuning in. For the first-time listeners, thank you for joining us. For the long-time listeners, thank you for keeping up with us for the long haul, even though we've been off for, a couple weeks? Feel like a couple weeks from now.
Yeah.
Definitely want to thank Spirit for blessing us with his time on the show.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, thank you. And for all y'all that don't know, check out his show. It is awesome, as well as the... what's the other show?
Fair Game Podcast.
Fair Game Podcast. If y'all want to hear some drunk people talking all kinds of shit, go ahead and listen to that one. Funny and jokes and jokes. No, but if you love the show, go ahead and tell everybody about the show. Go ahead and tell your brothers. Ooh, go ahead and tell your mamas, daddies, sisters, brothers, cousins, aunties, uncles, nieces, nephews. Look at my niece knocked out right now.
Mm-hmm.
Dang, boy. Go ahead and tell your dogs, chickens, duck, dogs, cats, chickens, ducks, roosters. See what we got today. You know what? I saw a big-ass wombat today. Go ahead and tell all your wombats. Tell your anteaters. Tell your kangaroos. Your wallabies. Tell the aborigines. Tell everybody about the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour, where it goes down. We have been your hosts, Chris and Jonathan, where we're giving it to you strong, and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy, y'all.
Holla. Southern smoke.
And now for a message from...
Military man.
Yours truly.
Southern smoke.
Why does it sound like it's saying my name?
Yeah. Camille, 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 Camille. I'm yuling on him like Soulja Boy, bombing on him like Ice-T. So you better do the right thing like a throwback Spike Lee. Let's get it. Yeah. Chameleonaire, the mixtape. God will answer your prayer. Now that the best verse on Millie is right here. Yeah. If you ain't making a million more, then what is you on the beat for? Detour. D-Paw, but he say he a D-Boy.
D-Boy. All the rappers act like they need war.
But when it's war, they equivalent to the Peace Corps. I murdered mixtapes for years. They probably told you no way. Everybody know the truth by what I did in the past like OJ. You in the way of the paper chase when I get on the tollway. You better be able to jump a Aston Martin like you're Kobe. If you can't handle the trill, then you better not interview me. Everybody's a gangster. You fakers can never fool me. I live in a suave house. I stay Tony draped up in jewelry. They know that I rap a lot, so I leave the crib with the Thule. I don't really give a care about how any of these haters view me. Probably think he gon' shoot me. Stretch me out like the Dooley. Vivid imagination. Colorful as a Coogee. Must have been watching Scarface and got your life out of movie. Okay. I'm hearing snoring. The industry's getting boring. All of the millions they've been enjoying from publishing and touring. Write a check, it's private jet. You write a check and it go boing. And I swear this track says Millie so much that it can get annoying. Somebody please send a message to Bangladesh. I ain't the best. Today is backwards day. And that will also mean I ain't the fresh. S rapper, make a bet and I will take the bet. Was looking for a place to get. I pulled out a pen and placed a check. Somebody send a message to Dr. Dre and Eminem. They taking so long to drop that we jam Soulja Boy instead of them. And you hear what I'm saying if you're intelligent. It looks to me your girl has been everywhere that my umbrella's been. It's raining Benjamin, but that ain't 3K, is it? It ain't a Benjamin or a Andre if you ain't get it. You gotta rewind it. Don't try to tell me that I can't spit it. Cause if it isn't, we just isn't in the same clinic. And to tell the truth, I don't know if the DJ's dead, homie. Okay. But the way it's going, auto-tune will be at the ceremony. When it's time to hear the eulogy, ain't no fooling me. I'll make Kanye West tell you that Lupe isn't cool as me. Don't put my name with beef. You nerds are such a tease. It's like you're freaking Alicia the way you stroke your keys. And socially, no one as dope as me, and they ain't supposed to be. I'm over free. Now the F and V is what you owe to me. You know Dupree, but you're a germ, man.
I got the sanitizer that'll extinguish your fame. I'm the villain in you Gilligan. Lost if you get in the middle when I'm swimming in. I'm killing them with all my killer penmen. Ship, you ain't tall enough. Raise your hand if you have to talk. Slim's belt to Ross's belly, man. You're half a boss. You would think it was made of pigskin the way I pass it off. You know the cannon gon' be with me like I'm Asher Roth. And I'm so dysfunctional. The flow is that Britney. And the mixtapes is cracking. Every verse is that Whitney. Before you getting online, if you gon' try to dap piff me, big breath like you inherited Shaq's kidney. A Millie.